morning, everybody. Matt Pavala here with you on 720 WGN. What just happened there? Why can't... Oh, I unplugged my headphones. Sorry about that. Hold on, Roger.
Hold on, Ben.
Ah, that helps. Sorry about that. It's a crazy night. Patty's taking over. She's running around, hugging Roger, hugging me. It's so good to see Patty. We don't get to see her anymore.
I had a collection of all of the lipstick marks that Patty has put on my face over the years.
So you're putting this on tape right now for when Bridget asks?
Well, she's seen the pictures.
She's your cover. Yeah. Patty's your beard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, funny, it was Patty. Patty was there. I said it on the air. If you listen, go back and listen to it. I even mentioned it.
She just ran around the corner. She'll be back. Mm. But she's got a store. She's got deals to get.
See, and I try to say, Patty, it's Saturday now.
It doesn't matter.
She told
the deals are still there, and there's nobody there.
Is there nobody there?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I was going to ask
Friday's
you tonight.
Black Friday's over.
And I went, hey, everybody, how are you? It's Matt Pavala. I was off for a week, so I'm back now. I hope you're all here with us. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jess is out tonight. Ben is doing like the sixth show in a row that he's worked on tonight. Literally, he's been here since 5.
Yeah.
He's going to be here until 5. What we ought to do you remember the great episode of WKRP?
Yes.
Where, and I'm not talking the turkey episode now.
Oh, you're not? Which one?
No, because, and I forgot to watch that this week. Is that online anywhere? Or have to be on a show?
Yeah, of course it's online. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to get evidence of my guess here. Hold on a second. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
Patty is taking a selfie with Roger now with lipstick all over his neck like she had ravished him earlier. You got to love a good wingman who will cover for you no matter what.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So the WKRP episode I was thinking of was the one where... they have somebody in, like, from a drunk driving thing, and they're doing, like, a PSA with Johnny Fever.
Right, right.
So they have Johnny do, like, a reflex test.
Right.
And what they're going to do is they're going to give him a drink.
It was a state trooper.
He was in the uniform. So they're going to have him do a reflex test, like, every 10 or 15 minutes, and he's going to drink more, and they're going to show how his reflexes slow down the more he drinks.
Uh-huh.
But Johnny Fever is such a, like, well, man, I'm kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
And so when they started, the guy goes, go! And Johnny, like, freaks out, like, what? And he's like, go! Da-da-da! So he hits the thing, and it took him, like, 6 seconds to get it. With every drink, Johnny's reflexes get better throughout the night, thereby ruining the whole idea of you shouldn't drink.
And I think the state police officer, wasn't he starting to drink later? Or I haven't seen the episode in so long.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
So I think we should come up with some sort of, you know, my triplets are entering the science fair time of year.
Mm-hmm.
The worst possible time of year in my life is when our kids have to do science fair. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I only have one older one, Jack, right?
Right.
And so he had to do science fair for 2 years. And it just, you know, I was not the best student. That's putting it very mildly.
Yeah, I think we've already established that fact over time. Sure.
We have, Roger, so we won't dwell on that.
Yeah, okay.
However, so things like science fair and all those things that really require work and organization,
work.
Things like that, are really like not where I was. My skill set was.
Uh-huh.
And now when the kids are like getting older and like algebra and things where I just really fell off the map... And science fair is one of them. Well, with Jack was 2 years and was one kid, so fine. Now we've got three kids all at once doing science fair. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can have work trips I got to be on so I don't have to take part because it's just not my thing and it stresses me out. I mean, stresses me out.
I can imagine. It was bad enough with one.
It was. And now there's three. And luckily, you know, they do a lot of it on their own, but they do need it. You know, we're not those parents that build a volcano and then bring it in and the kid doesn't even know. You know, they do their own thing and it reflects. Mm-hmm. It looks like seventh grade projects. I should call up one of the kids and say, here's your science project. Come on down and let's test Ben's reflexes every hour because he's been here since 5 by 5 a.m. And he said he's surviving on, Mountain Dew and Rockstar, is that what you said, Ben?
Oh, wow, he's buzzing.
Yeah, something like that.
How many Red Bulls and Rockstar? So you are...
I haven't had any yet.
You're 8 hours into work, right? You started at 5?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and he's going to 5, 12-hour shift.
He's going with 12. He's got 4 left, 3, 45 left. But you haven't had anything yet? Did you take a big nap? When did you get up, like, on Friday?
On Friday?
Did you nap before you came down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you
did? Yeah, because I was here late last night. Not this late.
Right.
Or, well, this late is about time. I got out here about 2 last night.
Last night.
Yeah.
So did you sleep in? Did you get, like, a real good night's sleep at some point?
Semi. I had to take care of some work when I got home, so I just kind of stayed up because I figured it would just help me tonight.
Sure.
Just kind of adjust the schedule for the weekend.
How many hours of sleep did you get before you came in?
About 5.
Okay, so that's not terrible.
It was enough to get through.
Tomorrow you're going to be hurting
a
little bit. Will you go to sleep right when you get home tomorrow?
Probably.
And are you walking out of here right at 5, or are you doing something after this?
Well, I'll get some odds and ends taken care of for the post-show stuff. But,
so you won't get home into bed till probably like 7?
Yes, ish. Yeah. Yeah.
Mama, that's rough.
I mean, I was in the bar industry. You know, I'd get off work around 4, and I was doing that for, you know, 20 something years. So,
I wonder, so what is the, in my head, because I never worked in the bars late at night, my head would be you're moving the entire time, you're on your feet the entire time, you got to get this done so you can get out of there, versus now you're sitting most of the time, staring at a computer a lot of the time, where your eyes are just bugging out. I would think that the sedentary nature of producing is a little tougher on staying awake.
Actually, it's not so bad, because there's still stuff to do.
Yeah, you do as a producer. Yeah. You have a ton to do at all times. All right, so Ben is ably behind the glass for us tonight. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. But Roger, you were mentioning in the news that there was a shooting at a mall in, was it New Jersey?
Elizabeth, New Jersey, my father's old hometown. When he was very, very young, after being born in Chicago, he and the family moved to Elizabeth.
Where is Elizabeth in New Jersey? Is it near, like, you know, New York, in that area?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I've seen the map before, but it's not like something you know.
So, it was a, do we know anything about the shooting as
it
hit?
They still don't know if it was from a fight. They don't know what happened there. There was apparently a lot of people in front of the camera that they needed to see in order to see what was going on. Elizabeth, New Jersey is right across the causeway, or whatever you want to call it, from Bayonne and from New York, from Staten Island.
So it's right over there. Okay.
Yeah.
But have you seen this online at all? Was there a big crowd?
No.
Was there? Was this like a... Because I was wondering on my way in.
It was in between two stores, according to the report. So, you know, it's the walkway.
So it was within a mall.
It was in a mall. So a lot of people out there. It was, you know, it was yesterday. And they don't know if it was an argument between two people. Somebody pulled out a gun and shot the other person in the arm. Jeez. Non-life-threatening injury. But they cleared the mall out. You know,
I would imagine.
They evacuated everyone. And people were distraught, especially if, you know, it was so crowded that I'm surprised more people didn't get hurt stampeding out from wherever the shot came from.
Well, it'd be interesting to know too, wouldn't it? How many people stampeded out and how many people said, oh, come on, it's probably just one guy. Let's go back. You know, dedicated are people? Are they, are they freaked out because we have this happen often in America where there's a shooting that ends up being a mass shooting, or people so into the fact that they're out shopping that they're like, eh, that's probably nothing. You know, like when a fire alarm goes off now in a hotel and nobody jumps up and runs out the door, they kind of wait around like, is this real? Do I really have to go? And it's fun. It's interesting because I was wondering on the way in, like, how much do people really Black Friday shop anymore? I remember Thanksgivings years ago, my wife's brother Casey would head out, like he'd stay and then he would go. I remember the Best Buy by our house. He was going at midnight to go get in line for something. And I've never done that in my life. I know for some people like Patty, it's a huge tradition that they want to go out Black Friday shopping. But I wonder with Cyber Monday and just the proliferation of so many deals online, I wondered if this was sort of dying down. I feel like we don't see the old videos anymore of the stampedes when they open the gates and things like that.
Well, there's certain stores that will see the long lines because, especially the electronics, that's always a big deal. And then the clothing, especially winter clothing, the big deals on that. But I have read reports over the last several days that Black Friday shopping is down in numbers.
You would and think it's got to be, right?
Right, and that online shopping has increased.
Oh, yeah.
So, but again, we were seeing some of the reports of how full some of the mall shopping parking lots were yesterday, and none of them hit 100%. Some of them, the figures were much lower than 50%. So I think that that idea of running out on Thanksgiving night slash Friday morning, you know, when the stores would open,
yeah,
to get the best deals, it's now striking, I would imagine, a lot of people as being really stupid. And you can get the same deals online. You can get the same deals later in the day or on the weekend.
Well, I wonder, though, can you get the exact same deals? I feel like the stores
always... Well, it depends on the product.
Because if you're in the store, mm-hmm. you're more likely to buy something else, right? Not to run out there just for that one thing. So,
well, they're usually hoping they'll you'll buy more.
Right. But so usually there's something to drag you in there that is kind of, you're not going to get this deal anywhere
else, but I have right? not seen... In the photos that I've seen, and so I'm a news junkie. A lot of people think I'm busy all day long. No, I'm actually watching TV news, and I'm on social media looking at pictures of people shopping at malls mm-hmm. at this time of the year. I just have the time because I'm not out at those malls. All right, calm down, Roger. So what I'm seeing is people in line after getting what they wanted to get with only one or two things in the cart.
Mm.
They're not loading up with a ton of stuff. I think what people do on Black Friday or whenever these stores open, because now they're opening on Thursday morning,
right?
You know, with these special doorbuster deals, is they see something that they've wanted to buy all year long and they put off until now, and it's either a large TV set or a gaming system or another electronic, the newest electronic digital device or computer or laptop,
right.
or some winter clothing. Those are the things that I see people buying. They're not out. Do you see the long lines at car dealerships? No. You don't see that. Do you see the lines at the food stores? Well, after Thanksgiving dinner, no.
Well, because they're not having big sales,
but
right?
But there's things people need as opposed to things people want.
Well, Black Friday is really about what you want right? I mean,
yes.
It's about, here's a great deal. I feel like I'm going to go get this.
Exactly.
It's people never, it's never something you have to have.
Right. And here's the other thing, and I've been in retail before, and I'm sure a lot of people have. When I don't want to call any company out or merchant or anything, I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I hope people understand that when a store has a sale, they've usually marked up an item before they put it on sale.
Yeah.
So if they're saying 60% off the regular price, well, that's the regular price before they jacked up the price and then discounted the price.
The regular price was never a price that they sell it at
exactly,
anyways, right?
Exactly.
You know, it's exactly. always going to be cheaper than that.
So you're really not getting a deal, because here's another thing. You get nothing for nothing. If you're going to buy a $5,000 flat screen TV that looks like a movie theater screen that you don't have any place in your home to actually put it, and you think you're getting 70% off, trust me, the retailer is making out like a bandit on that sale. They're not losing anything.
Yeah.
But it's the way that marketing goes nowadays.
Okay. Are they always making out like a bandit? Because I think when there's a doorbuster and there's a limited... I mean, because that's the thing with the fine print. There's a limited amount of
exactly.
PlayStations or these TVs.
You know why? Because they don't have that many.
Well, or because they're selling it at cost. They're not making anything on it. So it's really just something to try to drive all these people...
Try to get you in the door.
...to come to the store and right. come in. And I know that, we've heard over the years... I don't know how this plays into these insane sales at Black Friday. But, you know, when you go to certain stores where a TV is so much cheaper than at other places, a lot of times especially the store that has all the power and can control what mm-hmm. manufacturers put out. We all know who that is. The TV itself might actually have less bells and whistles than the TV that's being sold at the other place.
Exactly.
And that's sure. part of the reason why they can make it cheaper and get them to yeah. sell it cheaper.
Let me, a couple of quick things about the Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yeah.
The person was shot in the wrist. Happened at 7:55 p.m. On Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
The person who was shot is not cooperating with police. No one has been detained. He was being treated by medics there. There was some social media video of the shooting. I see the links here, and but I haven't played them yet. They were on temporary lockdown. People were being let out as of 8:40 p.m. So it wasn't that long afterwards
mm-hmm.
that people were, and they said about 25,000 shoppers visited the mall since it opened Thanksgiving Day at 10 a.m.
So they've been doing okay. All right, we got to take yeah. a quick break. We got the news coming up. Our friend Chris Gebhardt from NASASpaceflight.com. We'll get back to Black Friday in a little bit, but Chris is coming on with us to talk about there's been a lot in the news in and out. In Hawaii, they detected this object that entered our solar system from outside of our solar system. I believe it's the first object we've ever discovered within our solar system that we know came from outside of our solar system. And this has been in the news a little bit because there's some talk that could this have been sent by another life form? The way it's traveling, the way it's doing things is not making sense to scientists. And so there's some talk of, could this be a type of probe that was sent from another civilization? We'll talk with Chris about that after the news, which is next here on 720 WGN. Happy, I don't know, what is today? What is, so we have Thanksgiving, we have Black Friday, we have Cyber
Saturday
Monday.
Saturday is Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday, that's
yes.
right. Small Business Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and shop local. I was thinking there's a new restaurant in town. I'm going to try and have us try out.
Oh,
today.
Good.
Try to spend some money locally out in the Dundee area. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Matt Bubala here with you until 5 a.m. We do have a lot of stuff I want to get to tonight. The trees. I see people driving around with trees today. Now, this is the longest possible distance between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Next year will be the shortest possible distance between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
It goes in cycles.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. But so I'm wondering, is it a little too early for the real tree? How are you keeping that thing alive? We'll talk about that later. I have a great DNA story. You know how you can get your DNA done.
Yeah, right. I think there's a special deal, $49 now.
Was there a Black Friday deal for DNA?
I think so.
A Black Friday DNA deal. Get your DNA done. Half off. But
they only give you half of your...
You can figure out the other half.
Yeah, right.
Here's what we know. There was a great Twitter story about somebody who at Thanksgiving dinner, one of the relatives had done it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't turn out like they expected.
Yeah.
I will get to that later. Right now, our friend Chris Gebhardt is joining us on the phone. He's with NASASpaceflight.com. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you guys?
We're good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was filled with way too much food and beer and good company. So
perfect. Just
I'd
like
call that a
be.
Success. Yeah. Although I'm also wondering how people are keeping Christmas trees alive this long until Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's going to be really difficult to pull off. So we'll hear about that later in the show. But we wanted to talk to you for the last couple of weeks because we've been reading this story about something, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and you're going to correct me. Oumuamua.
Yes, the potential thing that everyone freaked out about potentially
yes.
being an alien probe from another solar system.
Well, at the very least, we know it is something that has entered our solar system from outside of our solar system, correct?
Yes, it is what is exciting about it, it's pronounced, Oh Mau Mau, sort of like that song, Day Bow Bow.
Okay.
Good way to remember it. Yeah. What is exciting about it is the first known interstellar passenger that has come into our solar system that we've been able to detect. And that's incredibly exciting. We know that the sun is capable with its really strong gravity of, grabbing things as they swing by in the outer reaches of our solar system and pulling them in. But this was our first confirmation of that. So it was super exciting. And its shape was extremely odd. So, you know, we're familiar with nice round-ish or round bodies of our solar system, like planets and moons and asteroids and things like that. But this thing was very flat, like a pancake, and very, very elongated, like if you took your finger, your index finger, and you just stretched it out like five times longer than it actually is a good way to visualize what this object looked like. So very weird, and that weird shape is what got a lot of people wondering if maybe it was a probe.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, when we go online and I look at the story about it, I see like an artist's rendering of Oumuamua. And so it's a, like a long, like you said, finger-like piece of rock is what it seems. But I'm guessing we don't actually have any photo of this. We don't truly know what it looks like when you see it. This is just light reflecting that we've detected? Or do we are we ever actually going to be able to see what this thing really looks like?
We're not going to be able to see what it really looks like, no. So, yeah, you're right. So all we know about its shape and size is what we saw light reflected off it as it passed through our solar system. And, you know, when we found it, it was already on its way back out of our solar system. So it's not like we saw it as it was coming in and had a good opportunity to train a bunch of telescopes on it when it came closest to Earth. Unfortunately, we found it after that point. No, we'll never be able to see what it looks like. And someone did a study, and I'm going to get the exact timing on this wrong, but even with our fastest technology that we have today, launching a probe toward it, it would never catch up to it because of how fast it's going out of our solar system.
So when we're saying it might have been pulled in by our sun, but it's not been pulled into an orbit at all, it's going through, is it possible that it wasn't necessarily pulled in by the sun? Could this have been a shard of a destroyed a comet or asteroid that, you know, there was a collision, it shot off, and this is just the direction it started going in?
It's a good question. That's initially what a lot of people suspected. It was until its elongated shape was really studied as much as it could be. And NASA and a bunch of other scientists looking at it and used the array of telescopes at our disposal, as well as the Hubble telescope in orbit to look at it. And we really determined that based on its size, shape, its trajectory, and the speed that it was going, when it was found, actually, it was November of last year that this story first appeared, it was going 85,000 miles per hour, just a blisteringly fast speed. And once all of that was taken into account and some of our other telescopes that were able to kind of look at it and get a basic idea of what it was made of, it didn't appear to be made of the type of things that we would expect solar system objects to be made of.
So that's why we think it's from outside the solar system, because of the composition of it?
Yeah.
And how, by just detecting light, do we know what the heck this thing is made of?
So in some ways, what we can do is we can measure, we can look and use our telescopes to look at some of the particles that are coming off of it. And it's sort of a way that it's sort of the same way that when we look at other planets outside of our solar system, right? And you hear these reports of people being able to say, oh, this planet has an atmosphere and it's got carbon and it's got oxygen and it's got nitrogen. And because basically what you're doing is you're looking at those particles as they pass in front of other stars in the background. And because we know what those other stars are made of, and we know the chemical signatures, and we know what we're looking for in what's called spectroscopy, is you're able to tell, like, the signal for, oh, that's carbon, oh, that's nitrogen. And if you know where it's coming from, then you know, you get an idea of what that object is made of. And that's partly what we were able to do with this object to determine it was you know, made of stuff that we wouldn't necessarily think of as being a part of our solar system from its formation until now.
We're speaking to Chris Gebhardt with NASASpaceflight.com. We're talking about Oumuamua, which is this big 400 foot long by 40 foot wide interstellar object that there was a little bit of, you know, hey, maybe this could be something sent from outer space. So is there still any possibility that it was? We'll find out with Chris next here on 720 WGN. Maybe Bala back with you on 720 WGN. This is how you remember how Oumuamua is pronounced. Now, that's not what it's named after, I'm guessing, right?
No, that's not what it's named after.
Well, the association will forever be there for me. Okay, so we're talking about Oumuamua.
I'm saying now that I've heard that song.
Yeah. Yes. Oumuamua is a Hawaiian word, I'm guessing?
It is, and there's sort of a unwritten rule, you could say, in astronomy, that based on where an object is discovered from is where you might give it a name.
Okay.
Or name it after. So, and because it was discovered from an observatory in Hawaii, that's why it was given a Hawaiian name.
Is Oumuamua a place in Hawaii? Is that a town? Or is that just a Hawaiian word? And if so, what does it mean? Do we know?
Well, you've got me there. Give me a second.
That's right. You don't have to look that up. I was just wondering if you knew.
It means, well, it's on the page that I'm looking at. It means scout. It means scout in Hawaiian. So a nice correlation there, you know, yeah, scout from another solar system.
Scout from another solar system. Now, is there any possibility that this actually could be, since we haven't seen it, could this be some sort of probe sent from another planet, or do we know for sure this is some sort of rocky composition that wouldn't make any sense? There's no detection of, I guess, electronics or electricity or things like that, or is there any possibility still in the wildest dreams that it could be?
I will never say never, because you never can say with 100% certainty, but I will say 99.999999%. It's not a probe. It is rocky. There's no electrical emanations or anything from it. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about too, of how we know that its origin is outside of the solar system is, you know, we're also able to measure, even though it was sped up and from the sun as it swung close to the sun last year, we're still able to use computer modeling to figure out what its speed was and what general direction it came from. And all of that matches really, really well with what we know of something that would have originated outside of our solar system, been in what we call the interstellar medium, the void between star systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all it matches so perfectly what that, you know, resting speed state would be. And also the direction that it came in toward the sun from. So, you know, when we think of the solar system, we think of the plane, right, that all the planets are on. Like, if you just think of a long road leading off into the distance in the desert, right, and all the planets and asteroids are more or less scattered along that line, but Oumuamua came in almost directly from above that, and then swung out of our solar system, or is on its way out of our solar system from that. So even given the direction that it came in from, is again a good match for it coming in from just the interstellar void, where it probably was for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years.
Yeah, what do we think? Is there any indication or any way of knowing for how long this has been traveling? And if this came from, say, if this was created in another nearby solar system, what's the minimum amount of time that it would have had to have been traveling to have made it here at 85,000 miles an hour?
Yeah. So, which is an absolutely great question. There was some initial indications that this might have come from the star Vega, accounting for its movements, because all the stars aren't fixed in relation to each other, right? It's not like your neighbor's house where your house and your neighbor's house hopefully don't move.
Right.
All the stars are sort of drifting. So if you think about like taking two bottles and putting them in the ocean and then just letting them drift, mm-hmm. over time they're going to drift apart, right? But we know how all of the stars move in relation to one another. So there was some thought that it could have come from Vega, from the direction of Vega, in which case that could lead to a lowest possible estimate of 600,000 years. Wow. It was traveling between where Vega was and where the sun is now. Other studies of its trajectory indicate that it might have been wandering the interstellar void for much longer and actually might have circled the entire center of the Milky Way galaxy once or twice, and it could have been out there for billions of years. There's one estimate that says it might have been 45 million years ago that it was formed. But unfortunately, we just don't know exactly because we can't go land a probe there to drill down and study it and date it.
Wouldn't that be like the greatest thing if we could do that, if we could land a probe on a passing object like that? I would think that just to study that would be incredible.
Oh my God, yes.
But also, I wonder if, you know, as we talk about going to Mars and probing the deeper reaches, and, you know, we've got probes that were sent out in the 70s that are getting, didn't we just have a probe leave our solar system, right?
Yes. So in 2012, Voyager 1 exited the solar system. And actually, just a month ago, its companion Voyager 2, which is on a different trajectory and going a little slower than Voyager 1, returned some indications that it had reached what's known as the basically the heliopause, which is the area where the solar wind, all those particles that flow outward from the sun, mm-hmm. meet the interstellar medium and basically stop. It's basically a region right at the edge of a puddle, right, where it's you're still in the liquid, but you're really, really close to dry land. And with that indication, Voyager 2 looks like it might pass out of our solar system sometime within the next year.
So if we could have landed, if we would have been ready and seen this coming and we were able to put a probe or something on this thing as it passed by Oumuamua, would it be, I wonder if that mm-hmm. is the way to get real deep space exploration, is to attach things to things that are traveling on their own and heading in crazy directions. I guess the real problem is, as they get farther and farther away, how do we get the signals back to Earth? Is that, I mean, I guess if these probes are leaving our solar system but are still able to send signals that come all the way back to us, it just takes, I imagine, months and months to receive them?
So it takes signals from the Voyager probes. I believe it's roughly 19 hours to come back and reach our receiving stations here on Earth. So not that bad right now, but you're right. You know, communication isn't necessarily, like, the return of data and that ability isn't so much the problem from great distances. The Voyagers, using 1970s technology, yeah. are proving that on an almost daily basis. The issue that you have, and we're going to see this actually at the end, we're going to see this in 2 days when NASA lands the InSight mission lander on Mars, and then we're going to see it again on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, when a probe called New Horizons, the one that flew past Pluto in 2015, is going to fly by another object way out there. And what we see in that is, it's not so much the time that it takes for the signal to come back, but the farther out you are, the less data you can actually send back because of how the carrier signals deteriorate as they travel back toward Earth. So your rate of return is actually what goes down the farther out you go. And that can have some pretty big impacts, especially if you're trying to study an object like Oumuamua and send back really complicated data packages. That can take a lot of time to do, and you sort of have this, you know, balance of, is that a great thing to do? I mean, obviously, if something's traveling 85,000 miles per hour, that's great if you can stick something on there and just sail yourself on out of the solar system.
Yeah.
But you know, you also, but what's interesting about Omaha Mountain and what brought it back into the news cycle, right, of like, it's clearly an alien object from, you know, from another solar system, is it actually defied what normally happens the farther you get from the sun. So as all of our probes and as all of our objects escape outward from the sun, they slow down relative to the sun, right? So think about it, like if you're in your car and you're on a bridge and you're going up that bridge, right, and you've floored the accelerator and you're at 80 miles an hour and you're halfway up the bridge and you take your foot off the accelerator, right, you're still going up. You're still going to get over the crest of that bridge, but you're going to slow down, right, relative to the bottom of the bridge just because you're fighting gravity. But Oumuamua actually accelerated and got faster instead of doing the typical thing of slowing down. And that's what a lot of scientists are looking at it, still trying to figure out exactly what those mechanisms were. And that's what sort of reignited this, you know, news cycle debate of, oh my God, it's doing something that, you know, we don't normally see. It's got to be aliens. Yeah. But, you know, it's just acting differently. And, you know, it's a good learning opportunity for us.
Somebody texted and asked, and I know there was never a threat of this. We were never worried about it striking Earth, but 40 mm-hmm. feet wide, 400 feet long at 85,000 miles an hour. If that would have struck Earth, is that a catastrophic event?
It would have done some damage. Going that fast, it's incredibly likely, depending on what its exact composition is, that pieces of it could have survived and made it to the ground. It, you know, 40 feet by 400 feet is not an extinction event.
Okay.
You know, like the asteroids that we always hear of that are the extinction level events are miles and miles across. So, you know, 40 by 400 wouldn't have been totally catastrophic, but it could have done some damage, again, depending on exactly what its composition is. Because Earth is actually hit by asteroids and meteors every single day.
Right.
The vast majority of which burn up completely in our atmosphere. It's just the bigger they are, the more that has to burn up. And the bigger they are, the more likely they are to be made of more denser material and matter that can survive the temperatures of atmospheric reentry and make it to the ground. So that's what we would be concerned with in that. But given its size and given its shape, I might say part of it might have made it to the ground, but nothing big.
Mostly would have burned up. Okay. Chris Gebhardt from NASA spaceflight.com. Yeah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll check in again soon, okay?
Sounds good. There's going to be a lot to talk about at the end of the year.
Yeah, sounds like there's a lot going on. We'll definitely make sure to check in again as we get towards the new year. Chris Gebhardt, check it out at NASAspaceflight.com. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN, 209 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios on Wacker Drive. If you're out doing your Doorbuster Saturday small business, it's not really Small Business Saturday, yes,
yeah.
But you're not Small Business Saturday shopping at 209 in the morning. You're still sort of some kind of doorbustering or something.
Well, a lot of those stores closed last night about 10 o'clock.
Gray Saturday, maybe?
Gray
well,
Saturday?
Patty's out shopping, she said. Something
yeah,
must
well,
be
Kohl's
open.
Is, she said Kohl's was open. So I'm not sure how many hours, mm-hmm. and it depends when they first opened.
I guess. Well, you know, if you're out shopping right now, you can yeah. call and tell us where there's still shopping going on.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to hear it.
Okay.
We're with you here until 5 a.m.
And then what are they going to buy us? They could tell us that, too.
They just listen to us, and that's the kindness that we ask, because we're thankful for them, Roger. I already bought you pizza, so you got a
yes.
gift tonight. So.
Yes, thank you again.
Coming.
And guess what? I was very good last week.
I was telling Ben, every week I say yeah. I'm going to quit doing this, and then yeah. every week I do the damn thing. It's yeah. killing me. We have got to stop doing this, Roger. It's not good for
I'm
us.
I'm not the one buying the pizza. You know what? Last week, you weren't here. Jess wasn't here. Guess what?
No pizza?
No pizza. I was a good boy last week.
Well, good.
I put more money in the bank account.
Good. How's yeah. it coming?
$1,500.
Nice.
Yep.
What's our goal? Like 10? probably.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Because how many people are going to be on this trip? This is Roger saving to take the grand girls to Disney World.
Yeah, about six.
Six people. Yeah, that's going to cost
for about a week.
Yeah, you're looking at more like 50.
Can we see most of it or the good stuff in about a week?
Absolutely. I think so.
Okay.
I mean, other people might tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
But by the end of the week, you're going to get us that.
Well, for a first time.
And I would say if you're taking a whole week, 5 to 7 days, then I would not only do Disney, but some of the other parks there, too, I think.
Oh, what else is down there?
Well, there's Universal Studios, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, Universal's
And then
really?
There's, like awesome. There's got to be a SeaWorld or something down there, too, right? There's got to be a water thing.
Well, the Wiki Watchy, I can watch the mermaid swimming around with the underground bar. I could do that. Wiki Watchy.
Sounds like you going out late at night. Sounds like that's not involving the grandkids.
I don't think so.
Mermaids underwater swinging from a bar? What?
No. The bar is like submerged, like, you know, it's underground, and it's connected to a very large pool where women with mermaid-type fins on their legs swim around. They grab these little tubes that have air coming out of it, and they, you know, take some air in, and they continue to swim around. And you sit at a bar that has this huge window behind it where you can look in and watch the women swimming around as mermaids. It's for decades they've had it down there. I think it's called Wiki Watchy or Wiki Watch or something.
It was some odd family friendly porn right there, is what that
No,
is.
It's not.
No, it was in,
which movie?
Ocean's 11.
Oh,
I think
at the very beginning of the first
oceans.
One, where he's teaching them how to play poker, and he's sitting at the bar, and behind the bar is the girl in the mermaid outfit doing that. Yeah.
I mean, they're fully clothed. They got the top on, too.
Uh huh.
You know.
It's not like the pen where you turn it sideways and the top comes off.
No. It's not like that, mermaid.
Okay, all right. Well, keeping my mermaid straight.
Okay.
I wonder, maybe that's where they started selling those pens originally.
I don't know.
Had to come up with that somewhere. All right, so good. So Roger's safe. We got pizza on the way. All that's cleared up.
Okay.
We're going to get to weather in a little bit. But first, I want to, because I saw this Twitter story, and it just amazed me. Have you guys ever done this DNA 23, Roger? You said there's a sale on it. You've never?
I don't know if it's a sale. I saw it, because I always thought it was very expensive to do. But I saw an ad, 23 something.
23andMe.
Me, okay. And I saw an ad a couple of nights ago, and it said $49. And I go, well,
that's not a bad deal.
For that, I could send it in.
And I've never read, I don't know how accurate it is, if there's questions about that or anything like that. That company's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's the wife of one of the founders of Google, who's one of the founders of this company, I believe, if I remember correctly. They've been around for a while.
Okay.
But, you know, people go and they do this. So Roger, what is your, do you know what your, what's your guess if you took a test? What is, I don't even know what your nationalities are.
Well, my mother's parents came from Russia.
Okay.
And I think my dad's parents, I believe his family came from Russia also, according to research done by my uncle and my dad, but so, not through one of these DNA things.
Right, right. Just
they went online and did the, you know, Ancestry. Searching for headstones and stuff. Yeah.
So you believe you're 100% Russian?
Well, I don't know how far back. You know what I'm saying? I know that my grandparents on my mother's side emigrated to the U.S. from Russia. They lived in Russia. My aunt and oldest uncle on my mother's side were born in Russia. I do know that. Prior to that and generations back on that lineage, I don't know.
So they might have come from somewhere else.
Exactly.
Emigrated to Russia.
Right.
But as
now,
far
my
as
dad's
you know,
family, I always thought came from Germany, but then in reading a lot of his stuff, It looks like his lineage came through Russia, and I have even found the Baddish name in England, so some may have settled there. Mm-hmm. I always thought we were the only Baddishes around.
Right.
There's a Baddish family, I believe, in Tennessee, and there's one in Denver.
So if somebody asks you, hey, Roger, what's your heritage, you would say
Russian.
I'm Russian.
Yeah.
And as far as you know, you're 100% Russian.
Well, I would.
I mean, you're not trolling and trying to change elections, anything like that. No, but that's just the history of your family.
Who knows? I probably would believe the majority is Russian.
Right.
Majority of my lineage is Russian. Yeah.
So I've always grown up hearing from my family that my mom's side was 100% Hungarian.
Okay.
And my dad's side was 100% Slovak. So I'm 50% Slovak, 50% Hungarian. That's okay. As far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen's side gets a little more crazier. She's like 50% Polish and then 25% Italian and then like, or no, maybe she, yeah, and she's also got a little bit of Irish and I think a little bit of German. And so now, she's a real mutt.
Now, Bridget's family, they were just crazy about heritage.
Okay.
And her aunt actually has two volumes, hardcover volumes with pictures and charts and everything else of the lineage going back several generations her family. So she's English and Irish.
Okay.
Is the majority of her lineage.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, if anybody out there has done the DNA test, and then been surprised by the results, I'd love to hear about that. 312-981-7200 is the number. So I'm scrolling through Twitter today, looking, you know, news stories and whatever else. And I find Twitter to be my favorite, by far, my favorite social media because, you know, in your new Facebook feed, it's generally all the same people that you know, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
On Twitter, because of people liking things or retweeting them, I get such a variety of people I've never heard of, people I don't know, of their stories and stuff like that. And sometimes it's annoying, sometimes it's really fascinating. So there was a thread today. A girl wrote, "My uncle on my Italian side got one of the DNA tests done." And actually, this was on, I think, what's today? Today is now the 24th.
Today's Saturday, yeah.
So,
yesterday was the 23rd, 22nd was Thursday.
Thanksgiving was 22nd. So this was on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So this is even better.
I think I saw the same one you're talking about.
"My uncle on my Italian side got one of the DNA tests done, and it turns out they're not Italian, and everyone in my family is having a mental breakdown."
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
This gets fun. So good. So then I'm reading through this. She writes, "My dad is yelling at his brother, 'Why did you do this?'" Now, my Italian friends, to me, Italian and Irish are the two nationalities of people I know in the world who really love their nationalities. I'm Hungarian and Slovak. I have no national pride. I have no knowledge of my country's history. I have no knowledge of any of it. And I know there's other nationalities that have ethnic pride and stuff like that, but to me, you know, if you're Italian and you are loving being Italian, to find out, you know, or a family who is Irish and they're Irish through and through, and they do all these Irish things, and then they find out they're not Irish, I just can't imagine. She says, "Dad is currently yelling in an excessively Italian accent at his brother and my stepmom that his life has been ruined." A little later, she writes, "Currently looking at a map to try to figure out if we could be from, like, the Italian part of Switzerland, a thing that my father now is convinced exists. My uncle Andy is now yodeling in the kitchen, and my dad is yelling at him to shut up. This all came up because I had to explain to my stepbrother what Joey Bag of Donuts meant, and then it all came up." She later wrote, some people were asking for an update. She wrote, "My Nana is mad at my uncle and eventually just stopped talking to him and started talking about her family's history in New Jersey. And this morning told my brother to shut it when he brought it up again. I'm getting my dad Swiss chocolate for Christmas. He remains devastated." So they found out they were Swiss.
Oh, my gosh.
So then the comments that started coming in were just so good. Oh, and I think there have been so many more that have come into this that I'm now losing the ones I had.
It's been a couple of days. I do remember seeing that, and I just looked at the first post, her initial post, and just laughed. And it got me thinking about, you know, how accurate is that thing, and or how much do we really know about our family
yeah.
heritage.
Yeah. So her family ended up being, it said from, they were Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the family was freaking out about it. And so then people started commenting on this, and it was great if you kept reading the comments, what they were saying about it. And then somebody wrote, because she's saying how, you know, the family's breaking down and all these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle keeps yodeling and dad's getting mad at him.
Yodeling.
And then somebody writes, oh, my God, this is such a Lifetime movie starring Valerie Bertinelli. And then the next tweet was from Valerie Bertinelli.
No.
And she wrote, I'm in. It was so great. I was That's like, oh, my hilarious. God, this is the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
312-981-7200. Jill's on the line. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I had the 23andMe done. I actually got recruited to do it because they wanted to study. I have lupus. They wanted to study people with lupus.
Okay.
So I got the ancestry, which I wasn't surprised about, and then the health and traits, which is really interesting. But I think Roger and I have something in common. All four of my grandparents were from Minsk in Belarus, so we're Russian Jews. Oh. So I came out 99.8% European, 0.5% Asian, Siberian. So then they break down the European. I was 97.4% Ashkenazi Jew. So I don't think people get that's not just religion. We're not religious. It's a ethnicity.
Yeah.
So, and if you go way, and I'm not surprised by the Asian, because if you go way up in Russia, there's, you know, Asian people and furs and all that, and I'm sure someone got together. But, yeah, so the rest of my European just says broadly, what did it say, Northwestern European. They didn't really specify, but, yeah, it's sort of fun. They'll give you. I've had so many people contact me because you have DNA relatives. So because I'm Ashkenazi Jew, they wanted to study me more. But it's kind of neat, even for a woman. Now they're doing the, it's called the BRCA 1 and 2. It's a breast cancer gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got that back. I didn't have that gene. They give you the Parkinson's, late onset Alzheimer's. Something called Gaucher's disease, where you throw up blood clots. But yeah, mine wasn't too exciting. You know, pretty much all the same thing.
Now you're saying all those medical things you just mentioned, that was through that same company?
Yes, and I you know, the Lupus Foundation of America recruited me, and they're very, very good. And I think that 23andMe has a very good reputation. They do a lot of research. Like, I know they recruited Parkinson's people to try to find, you know, they're trying to find genetic links to diseases. And, but yeah, I wasn't too, as far as the ancestry, pretty much what I thought.
Okay.
Even the Asian didn't surprise you. Yeah, because I thought you were Jewish, Roger.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah, so yours might come out that like that too.
Okay.
Because it is a people, you know. Mm-hmm. You can be non-religious. Yeah, and it is interesting because they said originally they wanted to do further testing on me because I was. I think maybe because with the Ashkenazi Jew, you're kind of like a little more purebred. There's less variables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of boring.
Well,
but yeah, yeah.
All those other genetic markers turned out good for you. That's interesting that they have all that.
Oh,
and it's got to be kind of like, I don't know, it's interesting because if they found out you were predisposed for these other things, then what? Then you just think the rest of your life, oh, crap, this is coming? Or do they then have recommendations, I guess, for managing those things?
Yeah, you would probably go to your doctor. Say the breast cancer gene was positive. You'd go talk to your doctor and see, you know, if it you need a preventive mastectomy or something like that. You know, on the fun side, like I said, I knew my ethnicity, but the traits and that is really fun. Like, I sort of laugh because I didn't have fast kick muscles. They said, I'm unlikely to be a you know, world-class athlete.
Well, you're really breaking this down for you. Yeah. I thought this was just your, no, here's where we're from, but this is getting pretty granular.
No, no. And then they do, you know, they tell you your hair color, your skin tone, your different things if you flush when you drink. But it was very accurate. I mean, it got my eye color right, my hair color, my it's quite interesting, and it's sort of fun. There's some real fun stuff in there.
How long did it take to get the initial results back?
I think about 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
You have to spit quite a bit. You spit into a vial. But, you know, I read about it. If you ever have to do it, they say rub your jawline. And I tried to think about steaks and food and stuff. But, yeah, I was pretty happy with 23andMe.
All right.
Excellent. But, thank you so much, Jill. You have a wonderful
take
weekend.
Care.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Very interesting.
Yeah,
we'll
very
talk a little bit more about this after the news, which is next. (312) 981-7200 Mapu Bal with you here, 720 WGN, live from the Allstate Showcase Studios. I'm sorry for interrupting your news, Roger. Sometimes things just annoy you and you feel like you must.
I totally get it. You wouldn't be the first one.
And I just don't get. So, A.
Right.
You're reporting that now. It's the first time I've heard this. Did they just release that on Friday?
The comments by the superintendent?
Yes.
I just saw it when I came in last night. I got in about 9 o'clock, and I saw as a one of those news briefs that we get for certain states, and so that's we saw that in Wisconsin.
So my guess is that was just released yesterday. So
possibly, yeah.
So they did a news dump. Mm-hmm. They wait till it's a slow time. People aren't paying attention. People aren't around. People are doing other things, and they release that.
Mm-hmm.
That. The Baraboo, can you read it again for me?
Yes, sir. Baraboo, Wisconsin school superintendent Lori, and I'm going with Mueller because it's spelled the same way, says the district may not take any disciplinary action against students allegedly making Nazi hand salutes in a prom picture. Mueller says free speech rights would make it difficult, adding officials don't know, in her words, intentions in the hearts of those involved.
God, that is stupid.
Because, you know, there was a story. As soon as that picture came out, there were interviews with one of the guys in the picture who did not do that. Then there was a report that one of the mothers that was standing behind the photographer had said, hey, everybody, wave hi to the photographer.
That's not waving hi.
And, well, I'm just saying what the news reports were.
Sure. Well, I understand that parents are going to try to go, oh, my gosh, now it's become, oh, no, they were just waving hi, or oh, no, this or that. Somebody posted, we even got the black kid to do it. We all know what they were doing. And if you don't know the story, it was a prom picture from Baraboo High School.
Actually, the picture is several months old.
Right. Well, it's from prom, right?
Right.
So it's from March
or
whatever.
And so the picture
just kind of got out there
out.
And started getting some viralness to it, being passed around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 40 kids. It's a big group. Maybe
and it's only guys.
20. It's only guys.
Yeah.
Big prom picture, and they're all giving what looks like Heil Hitler.
Not all of them.
Almost all of them.
A large percentage.
Like 85% of them.
All right,
in the
85%.
Photo. And it's not waving. It's not like, oh, that frame just caught him just right as the arms are just all straight in the air. No, they were not giving a wave. They're giving that. And somebody posted it and wrote, look, we even got the black kid to do it. So you know what they were doing. And I understand that the school might be in a tough place, but we do send our kids to school to get them educated. And I know it's a public school, so they don't have the same leeway that they do in a private school. However, if they were teaching a class on history and the U.S. involvement in the war, and some kid was saying, well, I think the Nazis had blah, 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 they wouldn't say, well, that's your free speech right. You can believe that. I think they would educate them. And I think we should all generally agree Nazis bad. And it's amazing that we are at a time in our country that we actually have to say that out loud, because I don't know why we have suddenly fallen back on not being as disgusted when there's some Nazi propaganda going around or Nazi stupidity out of our teenagers, and we're not coming down hard on it. Like, what the hell are you guys doing? Why are you being idiots? It's just ridiculous. And somebody texts and says maybe the lawyers are telling her that this is the tact we have to take. Maybe it is, but it's just a sad state when we're so scared to teach our children what we really believe. And I can't believe we're at a place where we're saying, oh, well, these kids have free speech rights. This is not a free speech issue. That's a ridiculous thing to hide behind. Okay, that's my soapbox, and now I'll jump off of it. Let's go back to the weather for a second, Roger.
Okay.
It was drizzling. So, by the way, we have to stop and give thanks for what a beautiful day Friday was during the day.
It was.
Were you outside at all?
Yeah, I got out a little bit before I had to come into work.
It was gorgeous out there.
I actually, wait, on Friday? Yeah, yesterday. Yeah, yes. I got out a little bit. Yeah.
I went out and hung all the Christmas lights. And I hate doing that when my fingers are frozen. And so I got out and I got all the lights on all the bushes outside. And I didn't have to buy. Normally, I waste a lot of money on Christmas lights because they go bad and you get the, what's the thing that Lou always talks about? I bought one a few years ago.
Oh, the light, click it a few times.
Yes, the light gun thing.
Yeah.
It has a good name. Can't remember what it is. I'm sure somebody's going to text to us in a second. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll use that, too, and I've gotten lights going with that. But, you know, generally after a year or so outside in the weather and stuff, and they're frozen, they're not frozen, and they're wet, you know, they tend to short out.
Mm-hmm.
I buy so many each year that I actually found was I brought on Wednesday afternoon, I brought all the Christmas stuff out of the attic and put it in the basement. I was really ahead of the game.
Wait, you moved it from the attic to the basement?
We have so much. We have at least between boxes, like the white legal boxes that you buy.
Yeah, right.
We have at least 10 of those, and then at least 6 to 8 tubs that are like, you know, the...
Oh, those plastic ones?
Plastic ones with the lids that are
right.
Like...
they sold them in colors for your storage of your Christmas things.
And we finally started buying clear ones so you can see what's in them, because that's the smartest thing you could do. So we bought the clear ones with the, like, red tops.
Right.
So we have like 5 or 6 of those, and then a bunch of other... I mean, it is so much that you can't just bring it in and put it all out and put the boxes away. The boxes have to stay somewhere because I'm not hauling all those boxes back up in the attic just to bring them back down in 6 weeks. So the boxes get lined up in the basement. So we brought everything down to the basement. The Lightkeeper Pro. Thank you, 630. The Lightkeeper Pro.
There you go.
It does work. That thing really does work. I never understood how, but it does. But so I had so many lights because I generally every year I end up at Target and I'll buy several boxes of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm getting all the stuff down from the attic the other day, I found that I had a box with, I think it was like 15 boxes of brand new white lights in them. I was so happy because I
hadn't been opened.
Yeah, I just accumulated them and kept buying. And maybe I bought a bunch last year and didn't realize I had a box because I always try to use the old ones first.
Sure.
See if they're shorting out or not working or broken or whatever. And then I'll start going to the new ones. And I had like 5 or 6. I only had like 5 or 6 good white strands from last year to reuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I need about 20 outside.
So
then I started digging into the new box. I didn't have to buy any new ones. It was great.
Good job. I'm
very happy about that.
Yeah.
So got all that out, and while the weather was nice, and it was just made me very happy to get that done and have them on and not worry about it.
Good.
Not worry about this weather coming. And then it started raining this afternoon. I had to help a neighbor friend put a boat under his deck.
Huh? My buddy Tim, is there enough room under there?
He's got, so they have sort of an English basement with the, you know, tall windows. And so their deck in the backyard is about 6 feet in the air.
Oh,
and he bought
okay.
one of these little tiny, this summer he did this. And he's had in the garage ever since, a little tiny fishing boat. I don't know what you call it. It's not a pontoon boat or anything like that. It's not a speed boat by any means. It's one of those metal, sheet metal type looking things.
Oh, the kind that they cut on that commercial? Where they cut the hole in the middle and they put it back together with
sort
the
of like that,
flex tape.
Like a rowboat.
More like a 2-person rowboat looking metal boat it does have a motor that goes on the back, but it's, you know, it's just a really small fishing boat.
Does he keep it on a trailer?
He's got it on a little trailer. Okay. He's got it in his garage.
So you could roll it in underneath the deck.
And so that's what we did. He backed it up with the car onto the grass. And then from there, we undid it and pushed that thing into the backyard and got it underneath the deck. He'd measured it all out. And he measured it perfectly so that only about 6 inches of the trailer was still sticking out of his deck.
Oh, it didn't make it all
not
the way in?
Quite. He looked down. He's like, damn it. I measured this, but I did it just with a tape measure by myself, so it probably wasn't as accurate as I thought.
And but plus, he's got the trailer, and the trailer is longer than the boat.
Well, here's where we think it might have happened is he had the boat hanging off the trailer a little bit in the back, and maybe hadn't taken into account. So he's like, "Oh, next year I'll move this boat up a little bit on it." But it was sticking out just a couple of inches, and he was actually so he's got lattice work that goes back over.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying he's just going to saws all off just one little piece of the lattice, and the little thing will just stick right out perfectly.
That's funny.
So I think that's what he's going to do. But so we did that, and now I'm hearing that we got this ridiculous storm coming, allegedly.
Allegedly.
So what are you thinking, Roger? Because you seem a little more hesitant on this storm.
Well, I'm just going with
weather predictions I'm seeing.
I'm going with the National Weather Service out of the Chicago office. And I also, as I mentioned before, earlier in the show, Tom Skilling tweeted out a lengthy tweet earlier Friday. I get my days mixed up now. On Friday, listing the European model, listing two or three models from the U.S., listing another Asian model, and just a bunch of different models. And the gist that I got out of that was they really don't know exactly what's going to happen or where, because there's just too many variants in all of the models to predict with any accuracy where that snow will fall, within what region, and at what amounts. So... that's what he said, and I'm going with that. That's he's pulling all of the models from all over the world, and I think what they know for sure is that those western counties out near Rockford that we've mentioned will be getting a bulk of the snow, but its continued eastward track is still uncertain between there and here. And I think they're continually watching it throughout the day today to see the speed, the direction, and other factors that those models show, and they will be better able to predict, hopefully with some accuracy and with enough time, where that snow will hit, when it will hit, on Sunday, and they have been saying it will happen Sunday night.
So on my weather app, my Weather Channel app, where I live out in Dundee, there is a winter storm watch.
Mm-hmm.
Winter storm watch in effect from Sunday morning through Sunday evening.
Right.
Now, this isn't for everyone in our listening area.
No, it says for Boone, DeKalb, and McHenry counties, the Rockford area, and the I-39 corridor.
And I'm in Kane.
Okay.
So I don't know...
And you're near McHenry County, aren't you?
Yeah, somewhat near there, I guess.
Yeah.
And near Cook, kind of on a border of a bunch of things, I think.
Yeah. So that's all we have right now. To be honest with you.
So mine says heavy snow possible, total snow accumulations in excess of 6 inches possible, winds could gust as high as 35 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we have the winds. That's always in the forecast, those heavy winds. So I wish I could tell you with more certainty
sure. What's
going on.
And we'll know more later today.
If I look at the WGN-TV interactive weather radar map, I'm seeing a very large storm over us, not storm, rain. I don't see any snow at all. The only snow I see is... up near east of Grand, I want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing here, International Falls, west east of International Falls, up in the Minnesota, upper north Minnesota. And that's where I see snow. I also see snow now west near Boise, north and south of Boise and east of Boise, Idaho. So that's, I think, what they're looking at as to what will be coming in on Sunday. But again, that is scattered all over the place as it's coming over the mountains.
Well, the map I saw had it had basically this storm some way tracking all the way almost to Seattle and then across the Midwest Plains and through us and headed towards Michigan. So it looked like, from the last thing I looked at online, that Michigan could be what really gets crushed.
Yeah, and Wisconsin. Sunday.
Yeah.
I also saw Wisconsin.
Parts of us, possibly.
But if you were to look at the weather radar map right now, you could see what very possibly could be the snow that they are predicting we're going to get. It is scattered all over the place. Right now, there's some approaching Denver, some approaching Cheyenne, some up in northwestern Wyoming, up in Montana, up in Idaho. It's scattered all over the place.
So, just be ready for Sunday for whatever it brings. It's supposed to start out as rainish stuff, and maybe it's going to turn to snow then later in the day as the temperatures drop and the wind picks up and all that good stuff.
Into Sunday evening and night,
Yeah. So be ready for a mess on Sunday night and possibly Monday morning or nothing at all. And it does look like what I've seen, though, Roger, correct me if I'm wrong, what we do feel like we know is the areas that could get hit hard are what, north of 55, we're saying?
I believe
or
so,
north
yeah.
north of 80?
Yeah.
Something like that? Further south, you're supposed to be able to
And again, those models, there's one model that shows it'll hit from the north suburbs south. And there's another model that shows from South Chicago, southern parts of Chicago, up north.
Yeah.
So either way, we're going to get snow.
Unless we don't.
I am not Tom Skilling by any stretch of the imagination.
The whole time, and now at the end you end with, either way, we're getting snow.
Well, we are, one way or another. I can't help it. I'm not Tom Skilling. And if you were to ask, if Tom was to call in right now and you were to ask him what percentage of assurity he could give that we in Chicago, Cook County, and the immediate suburban surrounding counties will be getting anywhere from 3 to 8 inches of snow.
You almost started
out of this.
To say 20.
I was going to say 12, not 20.
Oh, okay.
3 to 8 inches of snow by the time this is all done. He could not make that a sure bet to you.
You can't make anything a sure bet when it comes to the weather.
Well, of course not. He's not Mother Nature, but she does consult him from time to time, from what I've heard.
The old commercials told us so, right?
Yeah, that's, you can't. Full Mother Nature.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to do the news real quick. I'm going to say read these two texts, and then I'm done with this. 224, white people don't have freedom of speech no more because it's racist. No, you get called out on being racist. Maybe you don't have that freedom anymore. 630 writes, innocent till proven guilty. How do you know the comment on the black kid was even from someone in the picture or even from the same school? Quit trying so hard to be so PC. You are calling me as being too PC because I'm complaining about kids who are giving high Hitler salutes. That is too PC. That's the world we're living in now, where if you criticize a Nazi, you're being too PC. You're telling me more about yourself than I need to know, people. All right, 312-981-7200. Good morning, everybody. Matt Pabala here with you, 720 WGN. Roger has already vacated his new seat because he knows pizza is in the building. He's heading down to grab a slice of Papanino's. Papanino's, right? Is that what it's called? Papanino's. It's the best 3 a.m. pizza in Chicago. And I need to have it someday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to see if I think it's as good as I do now when I'm, you know, half tired and hopped up on caffeine in the middle of the night, but it's good pizza. And they deliver at 3 in the morning, so you can't look at that. That's a gift horse that you can't look in the mouth, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Ben, are you a real tree guy? Do you put a real tree in your house?
No. Actually, I grew up with an allergy, so I never
had it. Can I do the real tree?
Yeah.
Tree time,
I don't know if I
friend.
Can now, because I've grown out of most of my allergies.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I haven't tried it, though, so I'm not sure.
You know, we have the this year is the longest stretch we could possibly have between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because what did we have? Thursday was November 1st was a Thursday, so Thanksgiving is always fourth Thursday of the month, so it's very early this year, so we have a long stretch between now and Christmas. But I saw people out driving around today, and we're our local, who sells, I think it's the Knights of Columbus, do a Christmas tree sale at our church, and people are out, and the trees are all out, and people are driving around with them, and I'm thinking, can you have it in your house for that long? And that thing survive? I can't imagine putting it. We usually don't put up the tree till like the 5th or so of December, because we keep it up until whatever the first tree pickup is after the new year. Tree is lit up until New Year's Day. And then after that, whenever the next, you know, time is, I try to get it out there. But by even by the time I put it out, even putting it up late and I try to water, I try to be good about all these things. That thing is just a fire hazard waiting to go by the time I drag that tree out. Roger's shaking his head. No, you're going to have to come in and tell us, Roger, why that should not be. What? You don't think the tree should be dry by the time it's going out to the street?
No.
Am I doing something wrong? Is that what you're saying?
If a tree on, where am I here?
I had no idea where you are.
I'm on whatever number this is. Nine I can't five. See. It's so dark in here.
It's night, Roger.
I know. It is. By the time the tree goes out on the street, if it is bone dry, you've waited too long.
Well, here's the thing, though. The tree only keeps taking water for so long. Okay?
Not if you treat it right. Not if you cut it right. And if you treat it right and you take it away from the... there's no air blowing in from outside, dry, cold air, like coming through an air conditioner or something. If you put up your tree near the air conditioner by the front window.
So the tree is by a vent, which I stuff a towel into.
Okay, good.
So nothing can come through.
Okay.
But it's down in the living room, and there's still dry air and everything. And
Do you have a humidifier in the room?
No.
Do you have a whole house humidifier?
Yeah, I don't know how well it works.
Well, then you need to get a humidifier.
We're not shocking ourselves to death all winter long, I'll say that. So it's not that bad.
Okay. All right.
So it's not that crazy dry.
Mm-hmm.
But... this is the longest stretch, and I think it's going to be very hard for the people that I saw driving around with a real tree today. I'm thinking, you're putting that thing up now? How are you going to make it all the way till Christmas?
Plus, there's some extra days between now and Christmas. It's a longer time.
This is what what I'm saying.
Well,
I was in
the hallway. Right.
This is the longest possible stretch we could have. Right. Next year will be the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
This is the longest possible stretch you can have between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I'll bet you have listeners out there who have methods of making sure that that tree stays moist, fresh, through Christmas.
I don't know.
You got to say, a lot of people don't put it out until like the 5th or 10th of January.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The people who go 12 days of Christmas.
Exactly.
Afterwards. Yeah. But I don't know how you do that. James is on from Glendale Heights. Hey, James, how are you this morning?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Are you a real tree guy?
I'm a real tree guy. We're getting ours tomorrow, and it won't even drop a needle before January 6th.
All right, now what's your method to your madness there? How are you making it that? Because that's a long time. You're talking about a full 30 plus days.
I know. I used to work in the 80s back with some guys at the airport that lived in Wisconsin and Michigan. They had Christmas tree farms.
Okay.
And they laughed at us. They said, you Illinois people, you wait till the day after Thanksgiving, you go to your Christmas tree lot and you buy. He goes, when do you think those were cut? He goes, we cut those in July and August. He goes, we sprinkle them all down, put them under a tarp. The day after Thanksgiving, we come and we sell them to you guys. You get them in your dry house, they dry out and needles fall off. He goes, get them cut fresh. So tomorrow we're going just past Elgin. It's right past Randall Road, and you cut your own from the field, and they last forever.
Well, all right, so I can understand that. If you're getting it that fresh cut, then that makes sense, because we go to a tree lot. These guys are coming from Michigan. They're really cutting them in July. Come on.
They're coming in July and August. They put them in a big pile. They water them. They put them under a tarp. And then they load up their flatbed. They come in here. They have the Thanksgiving. And here we go. We buy them. And then we want to know why they're dying on us.
Why? I don't get that. I don't know that I'm buying this yet, James. Because why would they be cutting them in July? Why are they not cutting them in, say, October? What are they doing now?
Because they've got so many to cut. They want to sell so many.
Not only that, I think it's because of the tree farms. they have to get the land ready to plant new trees. Do it when it's warm out, not when it's in the middle of winter.
I'd be very mad if I found out they're cutting in July.
We go to Ziegler's. It's just past Randall Road, mm-hmm. and you buy it fresh every year. And as long as you keep it watered like you normally do, it doesn't even drop a needle. And it smells so nice and fresh.
Yeah,
these are the ones that have been dead for 2 or 3 months.
Well, when I get them home, they're not completely dead, though, because when I get it home with a good fresh cut on it, sometimes I'll drill some holes in the bottom as well. That thing will suck down a gallon of water in the first couple of days, so it's still going.
Well, it's because it's got some activity left in it, but you're taking to a warm house. You got your heat out of the house.
Sure.
You know, it's not 70 degrees out no more outside where it's living.
Right, right. Yeah, well, the freshest, you know, cutting your own tree, I think, is certainly the way to go, the best way to go. I don't do that just because we've been going to the same lot and these same guys from Michigan forever, for like 15 years now. So I feel like it's a tradition. I got to keep doing that. But I love the tip, James. So you guys are going, you're picking up your tree today?
We're going this morning. We're going to go in and we've got a reservation. You walk through the whole field and you cut down whatever tree you want. Get on the ground with your own tree saw. Takes 5 minutes, but it's fun. The kids love it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They get to help out.
You got room on your car.
You
got room on your car for two trees? Because I think Matt's going to want one.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go to John's Evergreens. And where are we going? Hoffman Estates. We go there every year, so I got to go to him. But you know what? How much does that cost? Is it pretty cheap because you're cutting it down yourself?
I mean, they vary in price. I'm not sure what the price is this year, but it depends on the size and the kind, because they've got all the different kinds, the 5, 6, 7 different kinds, you know, with the Scotch pines and the small needle, large needle.
What do you usually get?
We get a small needle. It's the balsam fir.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
They smell the best.
All right. Well, James, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Good luck picking out your tree. I hope you get a great one.
Thank you. You too. Have a nice Christmas.
Thanks, buddy. You too. All right, let's go to Mike in Schaumburg. Hey, Mike, how are you this morning?
Hey, good, Matt. Enjoying the show. And for the longest time, I got my trees at John's Evergreens, too, last year when we decided to go with an artificial tree.
Okay. All right. I can. Why'd you decide to go artificial, if I may ask?
It's just my wife and I.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, all the kids are growing up. They're out on their own, and they come over. But, you know, just for the clean up, it's just easier for us.
I get it. But now you've dealt with, it sounds like you've dealt with Christmas trees in a different way for all these years.
Oh, yeah. I'm a garbage man, and for some reason, some people will hold on to them until this time of year and throw them out.
Wait, people are throwing out last year's trees now?
I threw one out yesterday. All that was left of it was the trunk.
And you think they had it in their house?
I don't know if they have a fire pit in their backyard and they're just, you know, using the branches to make the fire smell nice or to start the fire.
That is weird. Wild stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I promise.
That happens all the time.
I promise you, my tree will be out there earlier than that. I will keep it as not dry as I can, and I'll get it out before every single needle hits the floor in my house.
Hey, man, I don't do your neighborhood, but I drive through your neighborhood sometimes. So,
All right. Well, you can report back if you see that I did something wrong. But I promise you, that tree will be out by early January with most of its needles still intact. I certainly hope. All right, Mike.
There you go, brother.
Thanks,
buddy. Take care.
Have a great holiday.
Happy holiday season.
You too. Thank you so much for checking in, 312-981-7200.
They just threw it out.
There must have been some other reason. It wasn't sitting there bare all
year. Maybe they just got back from vacation.
Doing pretty well if that's the case.
Now, we switched many years ago to an artificial tree. Because when the kids were little, we used to walk. There used to be a tree lot down on Western, a block away from our house. So we'd walk down the alley, I'd let the kids pick the tree, and we'd carry it back down the alley, bring it inside. And I'd have them cut it special, cut the angle at the bottom, cut up about a foot or so, cut the angle. I had already measured, I knew how high it could be and how high it went up higher with the stand.
Right.
Bring it in.
Let me just say, I do that every year.
Yep.
I measure that out, and then I put it up, scrape the ceiling, go, damn it, cut a little more off. Because then I got an angel that goes on top, and she needs extra room.
Did you see? You didn't see this story.
No.
And I didn't read the whole thing because I glance. Mm-hmm. I skim.
Sure.
I saw a story. I'm going to have to try to look it up again. The top of the city Christmas tree fell or cracked.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up again. It was just a glancing story, mm-hmm. but there was a photo. So I'm going to have to take a look at that again. And I'm not sure it said the top of the city Christmas tree cracked. I think it's the Chicago City Christmas tree. I'm going to have to look for that.
Okay.
But so the lot's not there anymore. It hasn't been there for several decades. And the kids have grown up. Now, sure. we have the grandkids over.
Yeah.
And the oldest one the other day said, when are you going to put up your Christmas tree? And I go, oh, I don't know, after Thanksgiving probably.
Yeah.
Because we keep it stored in the box in the basement.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, it always makes the living room look so much brighter.
Oh, sure.
And it does, lights. Because yeah. we only have one lamp right next to where Bridget sits. So the front room is pretty dark in our place, you know? And I keep asking my wife, I said, do you want a brighter light in there?
Yeah.
One of these, you know, daytime lights? Yeah. She said, nah, too bright. So now I'm hearing the kids. It's too dark in here, you know?
It's funny. I wonder as we get over, my mother-in-law, she always has the dimmers way down on all the lights. And somebody at Thanksgiving Day hit the dimmer light by our kitchen table and turned it on. And you'd think she was melting the way she reacted.
Oh, my gosh.
She likes those dimmers down.
Well, save a little money.
I guess she'd love being here for the show. I keep the lights down.
Yeah. Very nice.
But we do a Fraser fir. I insist on a Fraser fir.
I haven't heard of that one.
So, you know, there's like several different, like sure. you said, Scotch mm-hmm. pine and different things. The
right.
Fraser fir, to me, has the stiffest branches and the needles are very strong.
Long and needle, short needle? Medium?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they're long.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd say medium if I was to guess.
Okay.
But it smells really good when it's fresh and it's very strong and the it's not one of those soft, shaggy, like, needle ones.
Okay.
It's a stronger, tougher needle.
Gotcha.
And it's good at holding the ornaments.
All the ornaments, right. Yeah. And that's what we had. We used to load them up because the kids would make the ornaments.
Sure.
And we've got a ton of them now. So pretty soon, I'll drag the box up from...
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. I'll have David drag the box up from
good
the basement.
Call. Good call.
And then I'll put it together. Yeah. And again, there will be one string of lights that just no matter how many times I plug everything in, no matter how many different ways I plug the stuff in, one string of lights will always be unlit.
If it's only one, you've done okay.
Yeah. So. And I try to put it at the make. I can adjust the different plugs. There's like four different plugs on it.
Right.
And if you adjust them just right, the bottom row will be unlit.
Mm-hmm.
So that everything else is showing out the window as being lit.
Ah.
So we're good to go.
So you're like a news anchor. You just make it look good what's being seen and then no pants on underneath.
If it lit, it shows.
I like to, and I haven't been as aggressive the last couple of years, but I'd like to wrap the trunk of my tree first with lights. This is a very intensive process.
Okay.
So instead of just, you know, lights stranded around, I'll go first with just a whole row as tight as I can on the trunk all the way down, which is a pain because you got all the branches coming out. So you got to work around, you got to dig in there.
Uh-huh.
But if I do that all the way around and down, and then I'll do the layers outside, that tree gets bright. It's gorgeous.
Oh, I can imagine.
It's really gorgeous. It's a pain in the butt, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah, but you love it.
I do. It's really a pain in the butt when you're taking them back off. Because then you're reaching in and these branches now are sharp and dry and they're, you know, killing you.
I'm going to make a bet.
And you get so much sap at the end, too. You're so sticky.
I'll make you a bet. In about 5 years, because your kids will be pretty well grown up by then. I'll make you a bet in about 5 years, you're going to say to yourself, nah, too much hassle, and here comes the artificial tree. I'll make you a bet. 5 years.
You're on.
Okay. All right.
You're on.
I've lost every bet with you so far.
Yeah, so far. I'm not losing that one.
I know.
Because in 5 years, the triplets will only be seniors in high school. So there's no way I'm going down that early. I could see, like you said, once I have grandkids and if we're traveling the whole time, going places, and maybe we're not home enough.
Yeah.
But I love my real tree.
All right.
So it will be tough for me ever to give that up.
Do you get a curtain around it? Do you lay down a curtain underneath the tree?
A tree skirt?
Yeah, skirt.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Is it the bag kind that you pull up over the tree?
No.
That is a saver, I'm telling you.
And every year, I don't think of that till afterwards, because you can't put it in once it's in there. You got to kind of lay that in first.
Exactly.
And then the tree skirt would go on top of that to cover that up.
Sure.
I've done that
once. Well, actually, it's white. The bags are white.
Yeah, but I don't
want
that.
So you can kind of bunch them up like it's snow underneath there.
We have a nice reddish tree skirt.
Okay.
And then if I'm really good, and I haven't been good in the last years, I have a train set that I should be putting around that.
Oh, why don't you?
Because then I just run out of time. You don't, you know?
Well, let the kids do it. They like it.
I should have Tommy do it.
Yes.
You know what Tommy did this weekend?
Uh-oh.
No. Tommy worked Wednesday for 5 hours at a neighbor's house.
Uh-huh.
And today, Friday, for 5 hours at a neighbor's house.
Doing what? Cleaning up?
He got hired to clean.
Really?
Do a leaf cleanup and the whole thing. He was trimming bushes. I had to go pick him up. He had so much equipment at this neighbor's house.
I had to go pick him up
in the van yesterday. He's got the trimmer. He's got his edger. He's starting his own business. Oh, yeah. He passed out flyers.
I'll be a son of a gun. Look at that.
He made a lot of money this week.
I bet you he did.
Yeah. While the other three sat around playing video games all weekend, he was out busting his butt.
Hey, he should add to the flyer, Christmas tree removal.
So what, just dragging it out of the house for people?
Yes.
Yeah, that's something.
Better him than somebody else who maybe can't move it? Or,
absolutely, you know. That's true. Well, I tell you that today when I get home.
The other room.
Oh, yeah, you got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Right.
Today when I get back home, we're going to be testing out the snowblower. Because he went to get that started last week, and he's telling me that the fuel line is messed up or something.
How old is it?
Well, we've been there 15 years now, so possibly 12, 13 years old. But it still runs good.
Yeah, when was the last time you brought it in for servicing, though?
Never.
Uh-huh.
I pride myself on that.
Yeah, well, pride yourself when there's 10 feet of snow on the ground and you're still trying to figure out why it won't start.
And I'll say, that's why I had four kids. Get out there! Shovel for each of you. All right, we've got Roger coming up with the news in a couple of minutes here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bobala with you here, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio on Wacker Drive. Roger Badish in the newsroom, Ben Anderson behind the glass. He'll answer the phone when you dial 312-981-7200. You can also use that to text us. So, Roger, I think you were at least partially right. It was the stream, so you could purchase the pay-per-view event of The Match, Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods for $19.99. Through Xfinity, DirecTV, AT&T, that all worked fine. If you were purchasing the stream online through Bleacher Report Live, they had problems there.
Oh, it was on the stream?
Yeah, so the stream had technical issues. Spokesman for Turner said, we took a number of steps to resolve the matter, with our main priority being to deliver the content to those who purchased the event. So they ended up giving it away, and some people found out about that on social media, so people could access it however they wanted through that stream. That ended up being for free.
Okay.
And they haven't reported yet whether they'll credit back the money to those who did pay for it for the stream.
Got it. But, well, $9 million, 22 holes.
Was it supposed to be 22 holes?
No, 18. It went into,
so they went into overtime?
Oh, yeah. And they played on it was on a special par 3 hole, apparently. I haven't read all the details, but it was on a par 3 hole, and they just kept playing the same hole over and over and over until somebody won.
And Phil Mickelson ended up winning.
Yeah, by one stroke.
And the reviews that I'm seeing are not real kind to it. They said it wasn't that great at golf.
Right.
Considering it's, you know, two of the greatest players.
Mm-hmm. And I read a quote that... Mickelson said to Tiger, well, at least I'll be able to hold this over you.
Yeah, he said, I'll never let you live this
way. Right. Yeah.
And Phil Rosenthal wrote in the Tribune on Friday about the match and saying, you know, I'm not buying it. I could get the Tribune too since I'm covering things like this. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, watch how this goes, because if this goes gangbusters, then maybe they start doing the Masters as a pay-per-view. Maybe other sporting events go that route. You know, the biggest money events of all time have been pay-per-views, right? As far as television, the boxing matches and wrestling matches, things
like
that.
Well, I will tell you this, because I do follow golf fairly regularly. There is the PGA app that you could pay for to get live all of the tournament and extras live on your phone or your computer. You can pay for the app for a year. I don't pay for it, but I can get some video at certain times, but only on of select holes on those tournaments. The only other site that you can get live without paying for it is The Open. That's the British Open, and they stream everything online, the entire tournament. Because sometimes I don't get good reception on the television, plus TV only joins the matches when there's about maybe 9 holes to play. They don't show the whole thing from start to finish, and only on Sundays.
That depends on the tournament.
Well, though, right? Yeah, if it's the Masters, you get all 4 days, but it's the first 2 days are on cable. I don't have cable.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, and because I'm cheap, I'll admit it, I'm cheap.
I don't blame you.
I don't have the money to spend on that. And I'm not going to spend all my time watching it. I can follow it on, I can follow the leaderboard. That's free. Okay. So what I've been looking for, I have this Roku at home. That's how you get Amazon Prime and all these other digital channels. Mm-hmm. And PGA does not have a channel on there. There's no golf, official golf channel. There's some golf.
There is on cable.
There is on cable. Yes. Yeah. But on the Roku, there is not. Hmm. So, and of course, the Golf Channel, I don't have cable, so I don't know if that comes as basic or if you have to pay extra for it. I don't know.
So, I want to say the Golf Channel, is it owned by NBC?
Yes.
So that makes sense. That's probably why it's not on Roku, because NBC is owned by Comcast.
But NBC Sports is on Roku.
Oh, it is.
You pay extra for it.
Oh, interesting.
And you have to have cable service.
Oh, it can't. Well, your Roku's working through cable or through internet?
It's through the internet. I don't have cable service.
So you can't even do the NBC Sports through that?
Nope.
Interesting.
Yep. Plus, there's some of the tournaments are on CBS, not NBC.
Right. But those you can get.
NBC has a separate golf channel. CBS does not have a separate golf channel.
Hmm.
So, you know, if I wanted it that bad, I'd do it, but I don't, because I'd rather spend my time out golfing than sitting at home watching.
But let me ask you, Robert, if the Masters next year, is there one that you like try to watch as much as possible of? Would it be the Masters?
Well, I try to watch all of the majors.
Okay. So let's say that next year the Masters is going to be pay-per-view. And it's
I won't pay for it.
$25 for the 4 days.
No.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
What if it was $10?
Well, first of all, I'm too busy on Thursday and Friday to be sitting
what
at home watching
if
golf.
Suddenly, Roger. Mm-hmm.
Let's say I was free Thursday and Friday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And the only nothing way to watch to do? The Masters, nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget's out of town with the grandkids, you're home alone.
I'd be out golfing.
And your knee has acted up.
Uh oh.
And you are plastered to the chair for the 4 days.
Then I'd pay $25.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
PJ's got some work to do on you next year.
You got that right.
But what if the Super Bowl? I mean, think about it. That would be one that would make sense, right? Because maybe it wouldn't because the
they make so much money in sales on that thing.
They spend so much money, too.
True.
They spend an insane amount of money, and I don't know if they make it all back. They do. But maybe the NFL's like, hey, let's charge people $20 each and let's still run the commercials. And they just do it on their own. They could do that. We'd still.
Do they run commercials on pay-per-view?
Well,
I've never seen one.
You could, right?
You could, but
I think generally you don't. But I don't think if I were the NFL, I'd say this is how half, not maybe not half to most people, but a lot of the excitement about the Super Bowl is also around those ads.
Yeah, so but most of the ads come out beforehand anyway.
They do, which I think should be against the law. I think the Super Bowl should say your ad can only air for the first time during the Super Bowl. They should make that a prerequisite. Now, maybe they're not in a place to put restrictions on people advertising in the Super Bowl, but if they could, I think that should be a rule. Because you're bored with the commercials because everybody's done a whole here are the Super Bowl commercials and you see them all. It drives me nuts. I don't want to have seen it ever before.
Yeah.
Should be first run.
Yeah.
But this is something I could see them doing this where they, you know, why not make the Super Bowl a pay-per-view? 50 million people.
I just don't know if, I don't know for the golf thing. I don't know if enough would people would.
I agree. There are certain things that maybe just wouldn't take off quite yet.
Look what happened to bowling.
This is when they went pay-per-view. Is that when it went south?
Well, not pay-per-view. The audience dropped so far on ABC that they stopped carrying it.
Right.
Because bowling ran out of favor for several decades in America. Bowling alleys started closing like crazy. Now it's come back a bit, but bowling has been relegated to cable.
Yeah.
And they're not in bowling alleys now like they used to be. They're in an auditorium
where they
only have two lanes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, the joy of watching bowling was because it was in like your one of your neighborhood bowling alleys for the tournament.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that would. How does that correlate to
football? Well, I'm just saying. I'm thinking if golf tries to. I don't know what the ratings are. But I'm thinking if golf tries to go pay per view.
Well, I don't know that golf will necessarily try to do that because you're not going to have the. So many people buy that. And golf is so drawn out. You need to be able to come in and out of it, right? Because it is, especially Sundays and Saturdays at the Masters, it's long days.
Mm-hmm.
So some real diehards are going to be there all day, but most people check in, check out, want to be there for the last few holes, whatever. So maybe that doesn't quite lend itself to a great pay-per-view idea, but the Super Bowl or some other one-time event, maybe races, things like that, have more of a, you know, an opportunity. To me, the Super Bowl is the natural one. It's a one-day event, even if everything else is on TV. So many people interested, so many people that watch it. And you'd get bars and restaurants and so many places to shell out money for it. And so many people have Super Bowl parties now.
True.
That it would make sense, you know, if you still had 10 people come over and say, hey, everybody, you know, $5, we're going to get the pay-per-view of it. I guess it could hurt them at least a little bit. Ben, would you buy a pay-per-view of the Super Bowl if you had to? If that's the only way you're seeing it?
Depends on who's playing.
Really? Yeah, that's
true. Because I'm with you on all of the commercial stuff, because for the last better part of the decade, it's just been Patriots.
Yeah.
So who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I was all about the commercials, and then, I'm with you.
I think I'd still get it. I think. I can't imagine being like, I mean, it's just, it's an event. People are talking about it. You're interested in it. Generally, your team's never in it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I like your idea. Like, everybody puts $5 in.
Yeah, that's what I would.
Just do a party at somebody's house for it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what most people do now, so it wouldn't hurt the ratings.
That's how I do it. Think.
Not that I want to give the NFL any ideas, because I don't want them to do that, because I don't want to spend extra money on it, for goodness sakes, that's for sure. But I think people would buy into it. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We'll get you to the news in about 11 minutes.
By the way.
Yes.
The Storm Center update.
Uh-oh. Storm Center. Storm Center update.
Wow. Look at
that. That is imaging on the fly.
I like that. They've just added some more counties.
Oh, good.
Kane, yay! LaSalle, and Lake.
Where's Cook? Cook is still not in.
Not yet. Not yet.
The countdown continues.
Ogle and Winnebago counties also.
That's pretty much everybody north of I-55 then, right?
Right.
Or I-80?
And Lee.
And Lee. Don't forget Lee.
Yeah.
Just waiting on Cook. Cook's holding out for a better offer. Dan's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, I had a comment about the Super Bowl pay-per-view.
Yeah.
My belief, I don't think they will, but you know they've got a structure where they're making all this advertising money and whatnot, but they don't want anybody else making money off of it, though. Because, like, 10, 15 years ago, Vegas had all kinds, I mean, that's like their second largest attendance is Super Bowl, and they have these huge parties, and they were charging money for it, and the NFL got wind of it and said, no, we can't do that. You can't. You either got to give us the money, or we're going to limit your screen size to like 40 or 44 inches. So you obviously can't get thousands of people. So what they did was Vegas, you know, all these different hotels, they ordered all tons of, literally all the TVs in the United States went to Vegas that year. And they said, screw it, you know, we're not going to pay them, but we'll just order a bunch of TVs.
So wait a minute, how could they restrict, if you've got, by what laws are they able to restrict what size TVs they're showing?
Because I'm not really sure, but TV. I know for years, there's one year in specific. Before, it was like these huge screens.
Yeah.
And it was good, but then the next year we went back and they said, no, we can't have screens. The NFL won't let us. So we ordered all the TVs in the United States. They're all here, and you'll have, you know, 1,000 of them sitting in an auditorium, and you have your personalized TV and your drinks and your food and women and gambling and all that good stuff.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. All right, buddy. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Dan. Have a great one.
No problem. Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Sounds good. And Ben, who's producing for us, has worked in bars and stuff like that. And what issues do you guys deal with pay-per-views?
So... This is the big one that's come up, especially with the trend of popularity that happened over the last decade. So with MMA fights, it used to be, you know, you charge and people can go in. And when they first started putting the MMA fights on pay-per-view, you were paying per TV, you know, per cable box in the venue that you were showing it in. Since then, the MMA caught on and started requiring that they charge per viewing capacity. So the place I was working at had a 1,200 person capacity to it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the actual TV, where the TVs were, it was only about 300 tops for the amount of people. But because the entire place was a capacity of 1,200, they were charging like $20,000 for one of those fights because of the maximum, you know, viewing capacity. Wow.
And so would the bar still pay it, or they say that's not worth it?
Yeah. The bar I was at was saying that's not worth it.
Yeah.
Certain other bars in the area
would dish it out.
Yeah. Because it's smaller capacity, total capacity, so it would be worth it to them.
Yeah. Okay. Man, that is a lot of money to spend on one event.
Like, I think it was like $25,000-$30,000 for the Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Or the Mayweather-McGregor fight, I imagine, too.
Yeah.
Texter says if the Super Bowl goes pay-per-view, football will go defunct. Somebody else says football ratings are down 40% the last 2 years. I don't know if they're down 40%. I know they were down quite a bit. They were down a decent amount the last few years, but...
I saw a report that they've come back this year.
Yeah, and the Thanksgiving ratings were really good. They're very happy with those games that day. And I do think it has come back a bit.
Well, of course, they put the Bears back on.
Well, it doesn't hurt that one of your biggest markets finally has a team that's worth watching. I mean, the East Coast has had the Patriots for a lot of time, although the Giants and Jets have not been good. And the West Coast, you know, it's funny. They were so anxious to get football back into L.A., but the ratings have not been great there. I don't think they've had the easiest time selling out those stadiums. I think they should have just kept the teams where they were and let Los Angeles just watch on TV. You know, they were dying. The Rams are, you know, they're playing so good that they're drawing well. But, you know, the Chargers are playing like in a small soccer stadium, right?
Yeah, something goofy like
that. Although they're very good, too, this year.
But I wonder what's going to happen once the Raiders move to Vegas.
That will be really interesting. Unfortunately, they're terrible.
Well, I mean,
but it'll be interesting to see. And they're on the hook.
But let's look at the list.
$100 million to John Gruden.
Uh-huh.
Can you believe they signed that deal?
That's what I'm curious about. Because let's look at the last professional sports team that started in Vegas.
The Golden Knights.
Uh huh.
But they started as
But it's still going to be an opportunity.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an opportunity to. And they're building an indoor. They've got to be building an indoor football stadium, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's got to be, because otherwise it would never. I mean, you couldn't play a game in August in Las Vegas. So I imagine that is a dome stadium. So there'll be a Super Bowl there soon. That's going to be really interesting. That's going to be a windfall for Vegas.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. 312-981-7200. One more quick break. We've got the news coming up here on 720 WGN.
The Northwestern Wildcats battle for the Big Ten Championship here Saturday, December 1st.
Hi, I'm Coach Pat Fitzgerald. Chicago's Big Ten team plays here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The Tribune reported that the governor has instructed the Illinois EPA to refer an enforcement action to the Illinois Attorney General's office against Sterigenics International. After years of purportedly emitting carcinogens into the community, the governor has finally ordered that the company discontinue those operations that result in any emissions of gases linked to cancer, pending a complete review of the risk to the public. The GWC law firm is currently investigating on behalf of people who live or work near the company's facilities in Willowbrook. If you lived or worked near the Sterigenics facility in Willowbrook and have been diagnosed with cancer that may be linked to the carcinogenic gas ethylene oxide, contact GWC immediately. We have a proven track record of success against environmental polluters. GWC can help those who have developed cancer caused by exposure to ethylene oxide emissions from Sterigenics facilities. Schedule a free consultation now to obtain the justice that you deserve. Call 312-999-9999 or visit us at justicestartstoday.com.
Getting close to retirement? Your portfolio really shouldn't look like a 30-year-old's. You've heard him right here on WGN. Come join Chicago's retirement planning expert, Bill Geiger, for a complimentary workshop at Maggiano's in Oak Brook, Tuesday, November 27th. Come learn what you should be doing now for a stress-free retirement. Come join Bill. Call now because seats will go fast. 630-866-6900. That's 630-866-6900. Or go to GeigerWealth.com.
New Balance Chicago has everything you need to take on the season, including gifts for them and gear for you. New this year, premium heat loft fabric that gives you warmth without added weight in a cozy fleece alternative. And New Balance carries a huge selection of shoes in hard-to-find widths and sizes, from men's up to size 20, women's up to size 13, and widths from AA to 6E. Find the perfect fit and the perfect gift at New Balance Chicago, located in Lincoln Park, Oakbrook Terrace, Orland Park, and Schaumburg.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. Real quick, the Rodgers family, Aaron Rodgers, of course, is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And I believe it's Jesse Rodgers was on, what was he on, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette? He was on one of those. He's a college football analyst. I don't know if he was ever a backup in the NFL or if he just played in college, but... but I think it's safe to say that none of us would care or know who Jesse Rodgers is if he didn't have a brother named Aaron. Aaron Rodgers, and if you follow it all, The Bachelor, it was revealed on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever he was on, that there's kind of been a falling out in that family with Aaron and the rest of the family. And I don't know if it was related to him dating Olivia Munn or what was going on, but somehow there was a falling out. And then we haven't heard much about it in the last couple of years. Aaron Rodgers tweeted last week to raise money related to the California wildfires. I think he's somewhere around from where these fires were. He grew up somewhere out there. And so Aaron Rodgers tweeted last week, please take a minute to watch this. And if you can, take a few seconds to retweet this using the hashtag #RetweetForGood. All the money goes to a great organization for the immediate needs and the recovery efforts for the Campfire Paradise. Thank you, Butte Strong, Pay It Forward. And he had a little video, I think, asking people to donate money. So it was a nice thing he did, right?
It sounds like it.
Jesse Rodgers, right? Or is it Jesse? James Rodgers? I don't even know what his brother's name is. I think it's Jesse. He retweets it. And in all caps writes, please donate, spread awareness, and send love. He wrote that in all caps. Then he writes in regular letters, but when your own mom is home alone during the fires, car packed, ready to evacuate, and you miss the fundamental first step of compassion, calling your parents to make sure they are safe, ... everything else just feels like an act.
Was, wow.
Jordan
Rogers is his name. What a jerk his brother is.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. You can have problems with Aaron Rodgers. You can hate the Packers. Who knows what the falling out is with the family. I don't know a family on the planet that doesn't have something going on with somebody in the family. Everybody's got that, right? So the Rodgers mm-hmm. aren't alone in this. But for his brother to call him out as he's doing, I mean, he's doing good. He's raising money. Whatever he did with his mom, whatever. Okay, that's terrible. Whatever. That's your family business. But on Twitter, he calls him out for it. What a jerk.
At the same time, telling people to support it. That's so weird.
He sort of does, but he doesn't put in the hashtag. He doesn't do the retweet.
Maybe he was being sarcastic with the all caps.
I don't think he was. I think he was saying, hey, yes, do this, do this, do this, but now I'm going to take a shot at my brother. What a jerk. And a guy who has no career, honestly, has no career if his brother isn't the star of the Green Bay Packers.
He had to go on TV to get a date.
Ooh, you should send that to Aaron. Here's your comeback, Aaron. Write this. At least I didn't have to go on TV to get a date. I would write back to him, you keep those khakis packed, mister. Thank you, Roger Battis. 4:07 in the morning, 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN. Texter says, Aaron Rodgers is from Chico, which is only about 20 minutes from Paradise. That reminds me that Steve Dale has a friend. We have a friend of Steve Dale's who we work with who has a cat clinic in Chico. And she was supposed to go to China, I think, to go speak at a conference. And then the fires happened and her people had to leave. So she ended up with like 70 cats in her clinic that they were holding for people who had to flee.
Wow.
Those fires.
Hmm.
Speaking of, Steve, our good friend Steve, is in Thailand.
Oh, okay.
I will be filling in for Steve Dale on Sunday morning at
6:30. Oh, there you go.
Hosting Steve Dale's Pet World.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have any pets to adopt?
No, he only does that on Steve Cochran's show, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So, 6:30 to 7 a.m. Sunday morning, I'll mm-hmm. have Dr. Natalie Marks with us, and we'll answer your pet questions and stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, it'll be exciting. The Kirk Cousins injury, and then this UCF quarterback, University of Central Florida, Mackenzie Milton. I have not seen it. I don't want to see it. I don't care to see it. But Kirk Cousins from the Redskins, that was last Sunday. His leg got snapped.
Ouch.
And then this weekend, just on Friday, I believe it was, University of Central Florida quarterback Mackenzie Milton. I don't know if that was a knee injury or if that was an ankle or if it was a broken bone. But I noticed the headline, or one of the headlines I saw about it, said ESPN didn't show the replay, which I found curious because it seems like the Kirk Cousins thing was shown over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned to see when I opened up the newspaper last weekend, the next day, the Tribune had a picture in the sports page.
A close-up
of Kirk Cousins' leg going two different directions.
Ow.
And I was like, I couldn't believe that they actually did that. I was disappointed.
What was the one several years ago? Number of years ago.
No. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to be stunned when I tell you.
I can't remember, but it over and over, they kept showing. Oh, it was disgusting. Sure, because I saw it live, and I forgot what it was. Was it Joe Theismann?
Yep, yes, it was. Now, here is the... let me see if I can find the story. My son Jack was telling me this, and it was amazing when you find out the similarities between Joe Theismann and Kirk Cousins. Hold on, let me see. Ow.
Wait, Theismann was quarterback for the Redskins?
Yeah. Guess who Kirk Cousins was quarterback?
Oh, no.
Let me see if they have it all in this one story.
Did they compare them in the story?
It's you know the whole Kennedy, Lincoln, all those like...
The comparison? Yeah.
Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln, Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy or something like that?
Yeah. And the birthdays or something like... Yeah, the comparisons. Yeah.
Where is it?
Where was it? Like on Google or something?
You know, my son had it. He found it on his phone, and then he found it again when I asked. So Joe Theismann, that was a game. So Joe Theismann had his leg snapped on national TV 33 years ago to that day.
Oh, no. No.
Yes. The guy that broke his leg was Lawrence Taylor. The guy that broke Kirk Cousins' leg, I believe, was J.J. Watt.
So, just an update, it was not Cousins, it was Alex Smith.
I'm sorry. Why do I keep saying Kirk Cousins? Yeah. That's the Minnesota quarterback, where Alex Smith was last year, right?
Yeah.
Alex Smith is a quarterback whose leg is
defunct.
Very bad, yeah. So Alex Smith, playing for the Washington Redskins, gets his leg broken 33 years to the day after Joe Theismann did.
Okay.
If I have this correctly, it was on the same yard line that Joe Theismann was on. That's what my son was reading a story to me.
Oh, no.
That it was on the same yard line that and this is the other crazy thing, that Alex Smith had his leg broken and Joe Theismann had his leg broken by the only two three-time defensive players of the year, Lawrence Taylor and I believe J.J. Watt would be the other one. If that's right. Joe, I think Ben's going to try and look that up.
Here it is. I've got it. The eerie broken leg coincidence.
Same final score.
Connecting Redskins QBs, Alex Smith and Joe Theismann. Yeah.
They both broke the right tibia and fibula.
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh,
here we go.
They were both injured by the only three-time defensive player of the year at that time.
So it was Lawrence Taylor, man. And now it must be J.J. Watt, right?
It both happened on the 40-yard line.
There you go.
Let's see. What is this? Theismann's Pro Bowl left tackle wasn't on the field due to injury. Why does that have any comparison?
That's probably why.
Same position.
Same position. That's what I thought.
Yeah. That's just random. Weird.
How crazy.
Both
is
occurred
that?
On the 40-yard line. And, I see. So the three-time defensive player.
The only
in
two
both
in NFL
was
history, three-time defensive players of the year.
And their
the
Pro Bowl left tackle, both Pro Bowl left tackles, weren't on the field due to injury.
Who would have been protecting him.
Right. Joe Jacoby for Theismann and Trent Williams for Alex Smith. Good Lord Almighty.
Isn't that crazy?
I like the tag on the bottom. The biggest difference, the Redskins lost Sunday's game but won in 1985.
Well,
not that it matters much. It's apparently they're not doing well this year.
Well, they were winning their division.
Really?
Yeah.
And now they had to play against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. They had Colt McCoy, who did okay.
He did. But, with some questionable reffing.
What happened? Oh, there was a... Was
at
that
the
helmet to helmet?
At the end of the game, that could have won it.
A terrible Washington receiver catching a ball and just gets nailed helmet to helmet. I mean, face to face. His mask goes right into his face, and they somehow missed this call.
I mean, when Joe Buck says that was terrible. Like unbelievable, you know, that they didn't see it, it says everything.
When they're calling so many things that are so like, oh, is it really, is it this, is it that, and then they miss just a guy blowing a guy up.
They were doing it all game, though. There were several times.
Oh, really?
That there were calls. Yeah, well, not just helmet to helmet, but there was like a horse collar that was pretty obvious that they didn't call. I know there was at least one other, and I'm going to go blank right now because I was eating pumpkin pie at that point in time.
Hey, Ben, did you also say, and I'm sorry, I was reading at the same time you were talking, I apologize, that the score of both games were the same?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that.
23-21 was the score of both those games.
So there's
the Theismann game and the Smith
there's
game.
There's like five different really similar instances to this. You got the same date.
And they were
you got
both
the same yard line. The defensive player of the year, the
player
guard
who
missing,
wasn't on the field, the
final
score, and both games were played
in
Washington.
Washington.
I can't believe that was 33 years ago. Man.
I can't believe I remembered it was Joe Theismann.
I remember seeing it happen. I think I saw it live, too. Is there a chance it was a Monday night game then?
Let's see.
I don't know why in the world I would have been watching that otherwise.
I will look that up. November 18th, 19, what was it? 1985?
Yeah.
I can't type. It was a Monday.
Yeah, Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
83, would that still have been Howard Cosell?
It would have been Monday night.
Yeah.
85, oh, Cosell was still alive.
And I have not watched the Alex Smith one. I refuse to watch it. I saw the picture in the Tribune, which was bad enough, but the Joe Theismann one I saw, and I saw the replays, and that was just, oh, that was terrible. Okay, 312-981-7200. Speaking of referees, though, as Ben was bringing up the refereeing, did you see the story last week about the lawsuit? I think it's Simeon parents are lobbying against
with the officiating,
the IHSA.
Yeah, didn't they lose
their
that
game against Nazareth?
They lost the appeal.
They did lose the appeal.
I think so.
They lost the game. So what happened was there was a game, state playoff game, Nazareth versus Simeon,
mm-hmm.
and one of the Nazareth parents, I think, is also a high
yes,
school referee.
Is but was not officiating
he was not
that
officiating
night.
That game,
no.
But he came to the game dressed up as a referee.
Yes, and stood on the sidelines with the other refs
and talked to the referees
yes.
throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly afterwards, somebody asked him about it, and he said, "Hey, I had to do
what I had,
to do to make sure the right calls were made, and now they won.
Not even assigned to that game.
No." And how do they lose the... I mean, I don't know if they're going to turn a game over on it, but boy, is that bad form. That guy should never be allowed to referee again.
Yeah.
And I want to know if the referees at the game, did he tell him he was there to supervise? Or, like, did they know he was just a parent, but they know him because he's a ref? I mean, I want to know, like, how that all went down.
Well, they all know each other.
Do all the refs know each other?
So, of course, they probably didn't say anything. It's not like they had no connection with the game whatsoever. It was apparent. Right?
But, I mean, I don't know that all referees necessarily know each other. I don't know how many referees there are and where referees are from different sections of the state and things like that. Or you know, I don't know how that works. What if these guys were from down by Bloomington, you know, and they get called up to do this game so that it's nonpartisan refs or something like that? I have no idea how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he knew these guys, maybe he didn't. I don't know the story well enough, but I think it's just fascinating. If they did know him, know he's a dad on the other team, then they should have said, get the hell out of here. You can't be down here. It's certainly not wearing your stripes. What are you doing? If they did know and just let him hang out there and make comments, then they shouldn't be allowed to ref anymore either. That's terrible. Just the optics of it are horrendous. How do you do that?
Yeah, here's the law. This is 4 days ago. Get out of the way. Lawsuit filed last week accuses an Illinois high school football parent of dressing in his referee uniform while off-duty and influencing the outcome of a playoff game. Game in question was on November 10th, Nazareth Academy, beating West Chatham 34-27 in Class 7A quarterfinal. According to lawsuit reported also by the Chicago Tribune, the parent of a Nazareth player is a high school football official who wasn't working that day. Regardless, the parent wore his referee uniform, was involved in calls made during the day, the game. The lawsuit claims he stood on the sidelines, spoke to referees, was given access to an area where only referees are permitted. Father responded to criticism of him being involved in the game by saying, quote, "I did what was needed to make sure Naz won," according to screenshots included in the lawsuit. In another comment, the father tells someone, "I didn't make one bad call. I made sure the best team won." Legal argument the Simeon groups are making is that the referee's actions amount to a breach of contract, which is different than a rights claim. The groups will have to prove that in court the contract with IHSA is not just with the school, but with the grounds and parents of the players. IHSA has no comment on the lawsuit. I thought it was settled that they didn't have a case. I will look more for that.
Well, the IHSA said they found no wrongdoing.
Or maybe that's what I saw. Yeah.
But the lawsuit is still pending.
Okay.
And it was filed along with parents by the Simeon Alumni Association.
That's the official group. Right. Yeah.
How does the IHSA say we found no wrongdoing? How did they not just
say,
we're going to have to look more into this? That shouldn't have happened. You could at least say that.
Well, they initially didn't comment while they conducted an investigation, and they did interviews and such with people and witnesses there.
And afterwards, they're saying they found no wrongdoing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should. I could see them saying, we found that this did not affect the game. However, this guy should have never done that. He's been banned from this or that. I mean, come on. Just, we found no wrongdoing. What are we hiding behind these days? How is nobody taking a stand? This is twice tonight. How can you possibly say we found no wrongdoing? He wore his referee. Unless they're saying this is all made up and fake news and he didn't really do this and he didn't really post that. If he showed up there, if he said, I didn't make any bad calls, I made sure the best team won. He said that? Because he wasn't even working it.
Yeah. Nope.
So how does he make sure the best team won? And hey, that's not even the job of the referees. The job of the referees is not to make sure the best team won. The job of the referees is to call the infractions.
To be a neutral party.
Yeah. The best team doesn't necessarily win. The team that plays the best that day is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not be the best team. That's why you play the games.
Yeah.
So that's horse hockey right there. That's what that is, as Colonel Powder would say.
Horse pucky.
By the way, Mike Ditka was hospitalized on Wednesday. Yeah. I think we just found out about this on Friday.
Yeah.
But, and supposedly he had a heart attack, right?
Yeah. He had a heart attack while he was playing golf and in Florida. And apparently he's doing fine, according to those who know, and that he should be out in a few days.
Do you think he had missed a putt and just lost it? I mean, if we assume Coach Ditka, and what you know of Coach Ditka.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Remember, when he was head coach, he had a heart attack.
That's right.
And he was back a few days later.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and the SNL super fans even did a thing on it. Yeah.
Have heart attacks while they did their segments.
Oh, just a pork chop.
Oh, gosh, that's right. You know, I feel like I've seen more Ditkas at games this year. And I know the Bears played a game on Halloween or right around Halloween. But just in the game on Thanksgiving, didn't one of the Bears that
he jumped up in the stands
hand the ball to a Ditka?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like the classic outfit. Actually, Mitch Trubisky dressed up as Ditka for a game.
That's
this year.
Right.
Yeah.
And went as the coach.
But the guy on the Thanksgiving game that got the ball, his mustache was weak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Real weak.
Not everybody can pull off a coach Ditka mustache, but the sweater's classic.
Yeah,
gotta love that sweater.
Yeah, yeah, he did the sweater good. The guy on Thursday did the sweater.
The sweater down. Yeah. Absolutely. 312-981-7200. News coming up in a couple minutes here on 720 WGN. So we've stayed away from politics. We made it all the way till now.
No.
What? Yeah. Why? What?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Did you see President Trump answer what he's thankful for?
Yeah.
It was just beautiful. First of all, he was having a teleconference with the military. President Trump has not visited the military, is what I've read, at all yet in his presidency. Now, most presidents have not done it over Thanksgiving. I don't know if that's because of logistics or because of safety, things like that. But President Obama, President Bush, they've all visited the troops overseas from time to time. Surprise visits or planned visits, whatever. President Trump has not done that as of yet. And he's taken some heat for that. So maybe because of that, he was doing a teleconference with the military on Thanksgiving, thanking them and you know, all the things that he should be saying to them. But he had... So he was... I've got to look it up now. He asked what he is thankful for.
Uh-huh.
And he started with his family, which is good. You know, we should always start with your family when you're asked what you're thankful for.
Well, of course.
But then he just couldn't help himself after that. because, well.
Well, he tries to think of everything that he's thankful for.
You're really being kind tonight. You know that?
I'm being factual. Okay. He tried to remember everything that he was being thankful for.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's necessarily a question he was expecting. I thought that, you know, I'm thinking maybe he was just dealing with the task at hand, calling all of the branches of the military and wishing them a happy Thanksgiving, which is what he did, along with some other stuff.
So during this phone call with members of the military, it was kind of a weird rambling thing. Trump's call made from his private Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach struck an unusually political tone as he spoke with members of all five branches of the military to wish them happy holidays. It's a disgrace, Trump said of judges who have blocked his attempts to overhaul U.S. immigration laws. He linked his efforts to secure the border with military missions overseas. Trump later threatened to close the U.S. border with Mexico for an undisclosed period of time if the administration determines Mexico has, quote, lost control on its side. The call was uniquely Trump blend of boasting, peppered questions, and off-the-cuff observations as his comments veered from venting about slights to praising troops. You really are our heroes, he said, as club waiters worked to set Thanksgiving dinner tables on the outdoor terrace behind him. You probably see over the news what's happening on our southern border, Trump told one Air Force Brigadier General stationed at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan, adding, I don't have to even ask you. I know what you want to do. You want to make sure that you know who we're letting in. Later, Trump asked the U.S. Coast Guard commander about trade, which he noted was, quote, a very big subject for him personally. We've been taken advantage of for many, many years by bad trade deals, Trump told the commander, who sheepishly replied, Mr. President, from our perspective on the water, we don't see any issues in terms of trade right now. Because he's like, I'm in the Coast Guard, President Trump. And throughout, Trump congratulated himself, telling the officers that the country is doing exceptionally well on his watch. I hope that you take solace in knowing that all of the American families you hold so close to your heart are all doing well, he said. The nation's doing well economically, better than anybody in the world. He later told reporters, nobody's done more for the military than me. Indeed, asked what he was thankful for this Thanksgiving, Trump cited his great family as well as himself, saying, quote, I made a tremendous difference in this country. For all of you youngsters out there, when asked what you're thankful for, never talk about yourself. It's what you're thankful for, not about yourself.
Well, he's thankful for a lot of stuff.
That's the number one thing, Roger. I think that, by and large, we could all say, when somebody says, Roger, what are you thankful for? You should never say, I'm thankful that I'm so good at what I do.
That's just what you should avoid. But
should
I'm thankful that
others.
I'm still around.
Be thankful for others.
So that I can enjoy other people.
But you would say that as, I'm thankful for the other people in my life who I enjoy being around.
And then I would add that
I'm thankful,
for
myself.
For me, that I'm still here.
Everything okay? No problem, just having a heart attack.
Oh. Coach Dickett just called in.
Yeah.
Hello, Coach. I didn't know he was dropping by.
Yeah.
Matt Babal here with you for 23 more minutes. Orion will be coming up with the morning show here in a little bit. We'll check in with him before we get out of here. Here is a story that is one of those nothing this exciting could ever happen to me stories. Harold and Tina Ehrenberg from Mandeville, Louisiana, cleaning up for Thanksgiving, getting the house tidied up, straightening up, all those things that we all tend to do before a company comes over, right? I know we have a desk area upstairs, and I got yelled at. You got to get all that stuff out. You can't have all that stuff sitting there. You know, you start straightening out. And you start going through papers and receipts, right, that you just pile into places. And what I often do is then I find the lottery tickets that I buy. You know, when it gets over $100 million or $200, $400, I buy a lottery ticket or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll announce the winners from Rhode Island. And I'll just set the ticket aside.
Right.
Don't bother looking.
Mm-hmm.
Harold and Tina are cleaning up, and they find a lottery ticket they'd purchased months earlier. You know, and they set it aside.
I didn't think anything of it.
So I thought, well, you know, I probably ought to check these before we throw them away. That's probably what they're doing. I usually then I'll go online, I'll look at the things, I'll check them, and then I'll throw them away. They're drawing, I think this was a state lottery, I'm guessing. This wasn't like a Powerball or Mega Millions, I don't think. It was a Louisiana lottery. And they had bought the ticket on June 6th. Here we are in November.
Isn't there a limit on those things?
There is.
Okay.
180 days.
Ooh.
If they hadn't found this ticket for two more weeks, wouldn't have gotten the prize of $1.8 million.
Oh, man.
But they did. They got $1.8 million.
Wow.
Because they found a lottery ticket and checked the numbers.
Well,
so it just goes to show.
Yeah.
And now maybe that was the grand prize.
What was the lump sum, though? What is it? Percentage, usually?
I think this was just a state lottery, so they get the whole. It wasn't like you had to take the.
Oh, okay.
You know, after taxes, they took home $1.2 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How nice would that be?
Where do they live again? I need to call them.
Louisiana.
Oh, I'll have to call them. I think we're related. I think it's another baddish from somewhere.
If you guys could
somewhere.
Do a DNA, a me, a yeah, you right. and me 23, whatever that thing is.
That's what we
I'm
ought to do.
I'm pretty sure you're a cousin fifth removed from the fourth side. And I need $300,000, please.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show, though, you know, even if you don't, you know you didn't win. Because like I said, when we had one of those recent ones that were worth all the money, I bought tickets. And I was cleaning them out the other day, and I checked, and I had three numbers. I won
$10. That's right.
That's something.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 100,000 prizes, like for four numbers or five numbers or whatever. There's lots of
you can still win money.
Prizes.
It's not all about the big
and a good amount
prize.
Of money, too.
Yeah.
So never throw away your lottery tickets. Well, always check them.
Of course, one would have to buy a lottery ticket first throw it away.
That would be the step you'd need to take.
Yeah.
Yes.
Darn. Okay. I'm working on that.
Well, every dollar or $2 you don't spend on that, you can put in your Disney fund.
There you go.
Of course, if you just won once on that, you'd stop that Disney fund altogether.
Buy Disney.
Well, I don't know about that.
How much was that one? $1 billion?
Disney's worth more than
$1 billion. What was the lottery?
The highest one we
just had?
Yeah,
what was that one we just had?
1.6, right?
Yeah. Well, I could have bought a hotel on Boardwalk.
And put some houses on it?
Yeah, I think I would have. Reading Way Railroad.
Reading Railroad.
The electric company. I would have gotten out of jail free. Well, not necessarily free. Would have cost me.
Wouldn't it cost y'all $1.6
billion?
No. Probably. So that's nice.
Why am I laughing at my own stupid
know.
Comments? I'm sorry.
What do you think the value of the Walt Disney Company is these days, Roger?
Oh, God. Well, they own everything.
They seem to.
They own Marvel.
$166 billion.
Oh, God. Well, you got 1.6. It's a start. In the lottery.
That's true.
$166 billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apple, which we've talked about quite a bit recently.
Yeah,
right?
That's a...
They were a $1 trillion company. They were worth $1.1 trillion
for and a then while. There was another company that
Amazon
joined...
crossed and then went back under a few weeks
ago. Oh, they did. Okay.
But so Apple was as high as $1.1 trillion. And, you know, the markets had a little trouble, a little difficulty recently.
Yeah, that's
especially
right.
those tech. Apple is back down to $817 billion.
Wow, they lost that much?
They lost like $300 billion in value.
Yeesh.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, but still, $800 billion?
Still pretty good. Still the most valuable company on the planet.
Yeah.
But Facebook, which was another one that they thought might threaten to get to $1 trillion.
No way.
Down to $378 billion.
Yeah.
And
they've had issues.
Big issues. Yeah. And Amazon, which did cross for a short amount of time, down to $734 billion. Microsoft, another one they thought maybe would be one of the first to cross, $791 billion.
Mm.
So all of those companies have...
They've taken a lot
let's
of
Let's say
hits.
There was a lot of profit taking being done.
Yeah.
by investors.
And I think that happens towards the end of the year, not necessarily this early, but towards the end of the year.
Well, let's hope it's not a indicator of things to come.
Mm.
We are racking up quite the debt.
Yes.
And I don't know if this stock market fantasy is going to last forever. It's been really good for us, for those that are invested in the market for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. We'll see if things keep going in the right direction.
I'll tell you, if this is a weak Christmas season, it's really going to be bad.
That's true. That's true. If people aren't spending money. I think people will be spending money, though. I would think, at least, right?
Yeah.
So, we shall see. All right, let's take a break. We'll have Orion Samuelson coming up here pretty soon, 720 WGN. A couple of interesting things. Otherwise, I was reading a story. So, President Trump and his stance on Saudi Arabia has been interesting because the CIA came out last week and said that they believe that the Crown Prince is the one who ordered the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. And President Trump basically said, we're not sure we're ever going to know what really happened. And meanwhile, he's tweeting about low gas prices, says, thank you, Saudi Arabia. So he's pretty much made it clear that he's going to stand by Saudi Arabia, whatever happened here. Even though the CIA is saying they believe the Crown Prince, ordered this killing. I was reading online yesterday, and I don't know how much put into it because it wasn't from the New York Times or the Post or a major media outlet. It was kind of from a foreign newspaper. But they said that the CIA might actually have tape of Khashoggi, they believe, ordering the killing. That there is a recording of him saying he wants Khashoggi silenced as soon as possible. Now, whether or not they would argue, they just meant, bring him back to the country or whatever, we want to jail him. Maybe they'd say that's not him ordering a murder, but it keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse. And for how long is President Trump going to stand by him? Or is he eventually going to say, hey, he was an American citizen? It's not our problem. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's fascinating. Another interesting thing is there has been a lot of lawsuits, and Papadopoulos is trying to revoke his plea, saying, now there's things I didn't know. And there was a lawsuit. So in the Mueller investigation, there is a case brought by Mueller against a Russian company called Concord Management Consulting, which Mueller accuses in an indictment, this is from theinquisitor.com, of bankrolling and organizing a team of Russian online trolls who use social media disinformation and propaganda to sway the 2016 election. Judge Dabney Frederick ruled that merely collaborating with a foreign entity. So some people are suing, saying Mueller has no standing to really bring this prosecution. That got rejected by a judge. And then others are saying collusion's not a crime. And President Trump has even tweeted that collusion itself is not a crime. Even though there was no collusion, he writes, except by crooked Hillary and the Russians. He's like arguing it on every possible way. But there was a ruling this week. Judge Dabney Frederick ruled that merely collaborating with a foreign entity in a, quote, conspiracy to defraud the United States, unquote, violates federal law, even if none of the acts by either party are themselves crimes. So that could be very interesting, saying that, hey, we were just spreading information, or we were just writing this, we were just that. All these things aren't crimes, but if you collaborate with a foreign entity in an effort to defraud the United States in some manner, they're saying that is a crime. So that sounds like a victory for the Mueller investigation. It will be very interesting to see where all of that heads as we head into the new year. I thought we had heard, Roger, hadn't we been hearing? I mean, people tend
rumors.
To breathlessly report that Mueller's about to wrap it up. There's going to be all these indictments, all these things.
There's
been
rumors.
A lot of that lately.
They're all rumors. They just had another associate of Stone, Roger Stone, that has agreed to a plea deal with the Mueller investigation. That just happened, I think, Friday.
Yeah, I think I was seeing the headlines.
Corsi,
tonight,
I believe, is his name. But the rumors of it wrapping up are coming from all different avenues except the Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
This is a... independent investigation.
And a pretty tight-lipped one.
Very tight-lipped. And they do not have to announce what they're doing, where they're doing it, when they'll be done, or anything else. This is a very slow, methodical investigation that is, as with any investigation of this type, you're going in one direction, but then suddenly you start getting evidence or testimony or plea deals from people on the outskirts, and it starts branching off into other areas. You then have to investigate other areas. I think there were a number of lawyers on the team that weren't with the team anymore for various reasons, and I think people took that as a indication that it was slowing down.
Yeah.
That he was close since he's not using as many lawyers. There's been no explanation as to why those lawyers left, so I don't understand why people are making the speculation that it's wrapping up. I don't think it's anywhere near being wrapped up.
The amount of indictments that have come out of it is pretty staggering. I mean, the investigation has accomplished a lot, at least in the sense that they have made accusations, they have made charges, they've gotten plea deals,
mm-hmm.
people have gone to jail. So it's not like he's just been sitting around doing nothing, that's
right.
for sure.
Oh, right. Yeah. But again, it you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on the radio, this information doesn't come quickly or freely. You have to dig for this stuff. And that's why these investigations take forever. The same thing in the news business, actually. You'll see a blistering report in a newspaper or on the radio or on TV about corruption here or corruption there or something that. And it's taken 6, 7, 8 months to put that investigation together, to go through the material. It's not a quick thing. So
when was Mueller, do you remember when he was first... It was pretty early on in the presidency, right?
I think it's been over a year. It has to have
been well over a year.
Yeah. Would you like me to double check?
While you're looking that up, Judge Friedrich ruled that an agreement to perform legal actions can itself be a criminal conspiracy if the intent of the agreement is to defraud a U.S. government agency. In July, Giuliani first introduced the, quote, collusion is not a crime, unquote, defense in response to inquiries about a June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower between Donald Trump Jr., Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, and Trump's son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner, and a group of Kremlin-connected Russians. The elder Trump himself has acknowledged that the meeting's purpose was to, quote, get information on an opponent totally legal and done all the time in politics, as the Inquisitor reported. I've been sitting here looking in the federal code trying to find collusion as a crime, Giuliani said in an interview quoted by CNBC. Collusion is not a crime. The judge thinks otherwise, but we'll see where that gets. I don't see President Trump going to jail. Although I guess his sons could get indicted. That could be interesting in and of itself to see where that heads.
May 2017, he was appointed.
So it's a year and a half now.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That is a long time, and he may still have a long way to go. We'll see. All right, quick break, then we'll say hi to Orion and get you to the morning show next on 720 WGN.